Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
She's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is she all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. Just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
You have to park so close?
Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure. I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey, guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What? Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like,
ooh, let the dogs out.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Andy, Paul, and Fred are here. Kevin's in the booth, and we got a big day, kind of a weird day a little bit today. I don't know. The practice schedule, it's all screwed up.
It's a little
up.
Different.
It's all screwed up. But anyway, we'll have a full 2 hours here from 12 to 2, taking your emails and phone calls, 508-543-7482, and web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Eric will be in a little later. Where is Eric?
Eric is going to he gets the practice window.
Right.
See, the practice time is pretty much the same as regular season, but what's different is normally we've come out of the locker room where we've already spoken to players.
Right.
We will get the players after practice.
Right. So practice player availability is at 2:30 today, so it'll be after the show. But Belichick's press conference will be at 12:15, and we will go to that during the show because you never know. Today he might make some cut announcements. I know teams around the league are cutting players, making some moves already.
Yeah, or making moves.
Roster moves in general.
Yeah.
I would imagine Nick Kazier is a name that could be up for debate as to whether he's an IR candidate.
Yeah.
What's the safety's name? Barrett?
Josh Barrett.
Josh Barrett probably will get put on IR today as one of those moves to get down to 75.
What number is he?
Right.
He doesn't have
XX.
So just, you know, little programming reminder. At about 12:15 or as soon as Coach Belichick gets to the podium, we'll go live to that little live shot during the show.
See in its entirety, or are we going to pull out at whatever point we get bored?
Well, we'll see if
we pull out when we get bored.
If the news starts getting a little soft, we'll pull out.
If you generally pull out, Andy?
When he's soft?
Never up, never in, so pulling out's not an issue.
Web radio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. We got a game coming up on Thursday, the last preseason game against the Giants. We suspect that Tom Brady in the first won't play, but we never know based on last game. He might put him in for a series or two. What do you think?
At most, a cameo.
I think it's a possibility because of the fact that Bill kept hammering home. They didn't run any plays, and there might be a number of plays that he wants as a minimum.
But I think they got those plays back when they were going no huddle against the backups in the second half.
They may have. They may have, and Bill might. I would be surprised to see them even make a cameo, but if they do, that probably will be the reasoning behind it.
I'm excited to go down and see the new Meadowlands.
I am too.
New stadium.
I am too.
The inside.
I always like to see new stadiums.
Outside's ugly.
Yeah. Well, they purposely did that, and I think
they purposely made it ugly. No, they agree with Andy. It's ugly.
They purposely made it bland so that when the Giants play the Jets, they can dress it up to look like that team's stadium.
Brick can look better. Ironwork can look better. It looks like that cheap metal. Wavy roofing that some people use on stuff. Just the cheapest thing you could buy to cover the outside of the stadium. And I'm sure it supposedly deflects heat or does something and vents and this. It's just ugly. The bottom line is it's ugly.
Well, we'll see.
You know, I've already seen it. It's ugly.
It's on the side of a highway, so, I mean, what are you looking for? Taj Mahal?
It's ugly.
Well, I mean, can't you do something in terms of aesthetics?
I can't believe I'm defending the Jets and Giants stadium against you guys.
Well,
it's
I don't
ugly.
Know. I'm not bashing the stadium.
Right. I haven't seen it. It's ugly. I know
saying,
ugly when I see it, and I see it. It's there. It's
from
ugly.
From the outside, watching it be getting built the last couple of seasons, it's certainly not pleasing.
Maybe
to
this
the
time
eye.
Last year, I remember thinking, they're going to do something to that, right? That's not how it's staying, right? And it has stayed. It's ugly. That was not a shell or skeleton that something was going to be added to. It's just like brickwork to me, and some of the ironwork that they have here, just the blue exposed is better looking than that ugly tin.
See, I don't like the ironwork on the ramps you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, the top.
I really never liked that.
Well, it looks like they didn't finish it here.
Right.
But I'm talking about in general. I have no problem with exposed ironwork that's painted, looks nice, brick looks nice. This stuff looks like crap. And the other issue is...
I'm not quite as strong about it as Andy, but I tend to agree with him.
This place was built for whatever, $345 million, and I think is far better looking. I have higher expectations when you tell me something cost $1.7 billion. You know, if I go buy a Corolla, I know I'm buying a Corolla. But if I buy a Maserati, it's supposed to be a Maserati.
Well, I think all the details is what... I mean, $300 million of that, I think, was technology. You know, so that's part of the cost.
At cost of pretty?
You know, and when we built it, it was 10 years ago, and prices have gone up since then.
Yes, I know all that. The bottom line is it's ugly. We've spent too much time discussing it.
But I am looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah.
Me too. And the scoreboards and all the corners and everything, it's a little different.
See, I don't think it's ugly. I think it's very industrial and sort of, I don't know.
Ugly?
No, there's a word for it.
Hideous.
And maybe it is industrial, but I don't think it's ugly. I think
but isn't industrial what, like, Detroit is?
Oh, I love
well,
Detroit.
Well, theirs looks like the outside of, like,
a factory.
A factory.
Love
right,
it,
right.
though. It
yeah.
looks,
factories
I
are
think,
industrial.
I,
They're
yeah,
part of the industrial.
Very cool.
To me, that's industrial. It looks good, and you can label it as a certain type. This is just ugly.
Okay.
Cheap looking.
He's very strong on this one. I think
very
strong. I think we should cut ties and leave it alone.
He just doesn't like it.
It's not pleasing to the eye. Don't tell me it's pleasing to your eye. There's nothing pleasing about it.
You're not allowed to have it be pleasing to your eye.
It really pleases. You look at it and go, that's nice looking.
Have they demolished the old stadium?
Yes.
Or is it still standing?
They demolished it.
Okay, so
Hard Knocks. You didn't watch?
I want to see. I didn't see the first
They
one.
Pulled it down, I thought was different. They didn't. They cut it in a bunch of strategic places. Then they had all these big front-end loader things with chains, and they just all backed up, and the whole thing just pulled
down. With Springsteen playing in the background?
Is that who that was?
Yeah.
He's so overrated.
Well, I want to see it now without the other stadium.
Don't tell me that's pleasing to your eye.
That won't make it look any better. It either looks good or it doesn't.
Why are you continuing to hammer
this
one home?
He's got that stupid smirk on. Let's just move on. Let's talk about something that I find very interesting. Lawrence Maroney.
Yes.
And the verbal support he's gotten from the head coach on a number of occasions in the last, whatever it is, 4 days, I guess, from when he was asked, is he going to be a part of this team this year? Sure do.
He said absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And then yesterday, somebody was saying, well, he hasn't started games, and people reading into Ben Jarvis Greenells has started games. And Bill said, Lawrence has started a lot of games for this team now. Like, he has been propped up by Belichick. Like, there is certainly no doubt in my mind he's going to get cut.
Well, and I read one analysis. I'm not sure if it was Mike Reese or somebody said that, you know, maybe the reason why is because they know what they have in him.
Sure.
They're looking to see more out of, you know, what they have in Ben Jarvis Greenells.
Well,
see,
I went with
that
theory
the
first week.
I agree with Green Ellis.
Yep.
But the other one, to me, the other four running backs all fall into the same category.
You know what you have.
You know
in
what
them
you have
too,
in,
right.
in Taylor, Morris, right. Falk, and Maroney. Yeah. But
in
for
fact,
whatever
knowing
reason,
what you have, you should fear giving them carries.
Yeah. For whatever reason, Maroney's the only one that hasn't really seemed to get any extended look. He had, you know, the second half of the Saints game. But he didn't really get any extended look like the others have all gotten at some point or another.
Maybe he's trying to figure out who to cut, Morris or Taylor.
Listen, I mean, I think right now it looks like if anyone is in trouble, I would say it's Green Ellis. But right now, I think all five are going to stick. The same five that we've had.
Could be.
I would cut Green
I mean, Taylor certainly looked a lot better in the Falcons than we had thought he looked in practice. And kind of revived himself.
I thought about a week before that game, I thought that he sort of had hit an uptick. And he started showing some of that burst that we saw last year. I thought last summer he looked terrific in training camp. And I hadn't really seen that burst again. I was wondering about the ankle, any lingering effects from the surgery. He says no. He says he feels great in terms of the surgery and the ankle and all that. So I thought the last week before, and then you guys went and saw him in Atlanta, you and Eric, and he was taking a lot of the reps there.
Fred was watching the defensive side of the field, so he never actually saw him.
But, you know, my point is still there. I thought he started looking much better, and he is.
Look. And he's
don't tell me that that's pleasing to your eye.
What, that visor?
Is this going to become a shot at Paul and I for being walking cones today?
Andy's got that visor on that, like, you could put around your waist. It's so big.
Not Paul, but the point is taken. Oh, we haven't talked about that. Paul got pooped on yesterday.
Yeah, evidently you did, because I'm getting emails about it.
Now, somebody found it.
Right, so you did talk about it.
Now, Paul was out.
Blogging is typing.
Paul was out of practice, and I guess they took the tent down because a bird pooped on you?
No,
we get players coming off the field.
We're waiting for players to come off the field to talk to them, and
What had happened.
Had a little mishap.
Was it a pigeon, or did you
catch
a glimpse of the perpetrator?
Did you get the bird?
Yeah. No, I didn't get the number of that bird.
No. And were you the only one?
Yep.
Singled you out.
Yeah.
It landed on his shoulder, and then another drop between he and I. We were talking.
Yeah, it's just a little teeny little.
Yeah, you got lucky. It wasn't one of those big white ones.
Plus,
like you
it could have landed on my head.
Yeah, right. it was almost like it ate corn. It was like a little piece of corn with some liquid or something.
Okay, all right.
The bird had a digestive problem.
But that, you know, just another woe is me.
Right.
Of all the people.
It's blank on Paul time. Everybody, it's blank on Paul time. Well, this was literally.
It's another woe is me. I didn't say a word about it. No one would even know if it weren't for these guys who have to go cackling like schoolgirls onto the blog.
And as some of the blog commenters pointed out, I mean, from above, he's a huge target. I mean, looking straight down on him, that's a massive target for that bird to hit.
I'm sure they didn't get any prodding in that.
I don't know. I didn't have any part in the blog. That was Eric. He writes those beautiful flowery tales on the blog, and it was all his work.
So he wrote that
without
having seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I filled him in on some details when he asked.
Okay. That's what I thought.
All right. What else we got before Belichick gets to the press conference?
We haven't talked since last game, so there's obviously the reaction to the game when the offense looked terrible, save for G-Force.
Well, G-Force, the guy is just
great.
He's
let's put him in camp.
I don't know if he's great yet, but he's certainly everything that we hoped he would be, without a doubt. As far as, you know, the rest of the team, I think the worst thing to come out of that game is the secondary. I mean, they couldn't cover.
The pass defense, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see any great pass rush either. So
I saw some pressure.
I thought the coverage was worse than the pressure. I didn't see any pressure, but I thought the coverage was worse than the pressure this week because guys were just wide open.
Well, I think also because you have some hope for the coverage. We've seen a competitive battle at corner.
Well, that's the most disappointing thing.
Wasn't competitive, really, against the Rams.
I did see some things from a schematic point of view that I liked. I thought that they sent some blitzes and did some different things with pass rushers. Some of them were effective. Some of them weren't. But I like that. I like the fact that they were kind of getting a little bit more aggressive.
And we've seen a lot of that in camp. But clearly, they know we might have to create some pass rushers.
But for Belichick to say right after a game, in a game of little defense, we played less. I mean, that was on his mind, that his defense stunk during that game.
It was kind of obvious.
Do we write it off as a preseason aberration?
No.
Why?
Because I don't write off anything. I don't, especially when you fail to compete like that. You know, guys just wide open. Again, the tight end in the middle of the field killing
you. What's more, the Patriots' defense, against the Rams or against the Falcons? Because they were drastically different.
Drastically?
Yeah, I don't know about drastically.
Well, I mean, guys were pretty optimistic coming off of that Falcons game, you know, from the top down.
Yeah, but they're probably somewhere in the middle in terms of the results, but I think that the tight ends that we saw wide open for the Rams were wide open for the Falcons, too. I think they had some easy pitch and catches. The difference was I think the Patriots did a better job of minimizing the damage against Atlanta. In other words, they bent but didn't break.
Right.
And they didn't do so against the Rams.
Right.
And it was for a longer period of time against the Rams.
You always worry more about the negative in the preseason than you praise or gloat about the positive. And I think rightly so. The defense didn't look like it could physically compete. You know, everybody talks about game planning and this and matchups and that. They looked like a bunch of guys on a field trying but not being able to compete. And I don't care about all the other stuff.
Yeah, the whole game planning thing, I agree with Andy, and I've heard a couple of other people say this on the radio this week. It's fine that you're not game planning. We know they're not. And Bill said yesterday other teams aren't game planning for them either.
Right.
And I agree with that. But you would like to think when you're playing especially a bad team like the Rams, a 1-15 team from a year ago, that you'd line up man for man and dominate them. And they got dominated, really, for a large stretch of the first 30 minutes on both sides of the ball. That was concerning to me. Now, is that end of the world, sky is falling concerning? No. But in week three of the preseason, it was concerning to me.
And, you know, Brady did score at the end of the first half, and then they came out again for the second half. But, you know, those few first four drives, I think, were pretty futile.
One first down in the first four drives.
13
three,
plays.
Three and outs.
One more than the minimum.
One first down
yep.
on the other drive.
So, I don't know if that means we're going to see some action for these starters in this game. But certainly the Bengals look to be an improved team. They've got a pretty good offense, some good players on offense, and they've added to their defense. So that's not going to be any pushover. It's not.
The Bengals are a playoff caliber team.
Yeah, they could be. They could be.
I mean, I think they are. Whether they don't make it, whether they make it or not,
they got the Ravens, and you know,
they're a playoff caliber team.
I mean, it's a 10-6 team that won the division last year that on paper got better.
Right.
So that's a playoff caliber team.
Yeah.
Just like the Patriots are a playoff caliber team, even if they finish 5-11, I think they enter the season as a playoff caliber team.
I mean, Pittsburgh last year, in my opinion, was a playoff caliber team. They didn't make the playoffs. They went 9-7, didn't make it.
No,
they have enough talent to be a playoff team.
I believe the Rams are a playoff caliber
team.
So, you know, I haven't watched a lot of Cincinnati preseason games. I watched a little bit last night, and Carson Palmer looked pretty good. But certainly the effort that the Patriots put forth last Thursday will not win that game, you know.
No.
Well, I don't think there are too many teams that they would be playing with that kind of effort. And I don't know how you guys feel about it. There was someone asked me, do you think that it's possible to look past an opponent in the preseason, sort of underestimate, you know, just kind of come out flat? Just because, well, we put in some good work, and this is the Rams, and
I don't know. You know,
because that's what it kind of looks like.
Preseason game, that's kind of the game where I think the starters get up for, hey, we got to work some things out. Let's see how we do.
Yeah.
You know, all these things that we've been doing in practice, you know, let's see how they work out. And I would think that you'd be excited to, you know, kind of put – to, you know, the test what you've been working on.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know?
In general, I think preseason action is flat. I mean, I think all the teams are flat because it's not the regular season. It's not the same. But in the third one, early on, I think teams are kind of trying to get my last work in, and then we'll take the next week off and be ready and show everybody what we're going to be.
So, maybe it was just because it was so surprising. See the size of this horse that's flying around?
Yeah,
here,
it's
by
kind
the
of disturbing.
There's a fly like the size of Cleveland.
You better watch
flying
out.
Around
you got a reputation with the flying creatures. They like to poop on you.
But anyway, so I think that's another thing that got Belichick so unhappy after the game is exactly what we just said. You know, this is a game where I would have expected my team to come out and, you know, really be ready to play. And I got the exact opposite. And, you know, he was as dour after a game as, I mean, I've seen playoff games that Patriots have lost where he hasn't been that bad.
Rightfully so.
I haven't seen him that bad at this time of year
in
a long time.
And then Friday, his 5 o'clock phone conference, a little better. You know, he said, look, within bad plays, there were some positive individual efforts. But, you know, Friday he sounded like he was sleeping. He was really sounded tired on Friday.
Sure he was, because he was breaking down the debacle throughout the wee hours of the morning and moving into the day. It was a debacle. As close as you can get to a preseason debacle, even though it was a one-point game, it was so misleading. When they left the ones in to kind of beat up on their twos and threes, and then defensively, kind of our ones were in getting beat up by twos and threes.
That was the I thought the most.
And Steven Jackson didn't play.
The most
he played one series. Their
the,
best player didn't play. The Rams, and you still got beat ups.
The Rams backups continued to move the ball at will against the defense.
I am kind of glad though that when the Patriots did keep in their ones on offense, they were able to do what they did.
Yes, obviously, if they failed there, then it's really bad. But
that would have been really bad.
You still don't really, you know, put much stock into Moss beating, what was the guy's name, Kevin Payne?
Yeah.
You know, Ed Reed the second there, deep.
It's all right. He beat him.
I'm glad it was a good throw.
Yeah, you better do it. Because if you don't, it's going to look a lot worse. It's going to say something if you don't do it. It may not say something that you did.
Right.
But
right.
It'd say something if you didn't.
Now, the only thing to put stock in is how good G-Force is. So I'll just keep going down that road.
Well, hey, the fact that he's catching the ball right now.
Always.
As a rookie. The fact that he's just catching the ball.
And the fact that I like the second touchdown that Brady just decides, I'm throwing it to him. I'm going to get it over the linebacker, let him make a play, go up and get it, and he got it.
I was watching the game last night with Cincinnati and who are they playing?
Buffalo.
Buffalo. And Buffalo, Chad Jackson was out in the field. Ran a nice little route, front of the end zone. Ball's a little high, right through his hands. You know, so nothing's changed there for Chad Jackson. You know, so it's good to see Gronkowski just catching the ball, you know.
He's tremendous. Yesterday he was out late on the practice fields working with Brady on a lot of different things.
I heard Hernandez was too, which is a good sign.
Well, but he's hurt.
Right, but he was out there running routes without pads.
Yeah, in sweats. Yeah. Yes.
He was in sweats running pads.
He has tied himself to Tom Brady's waist. He hasn't been more than 5 feet from Brady all
season. They were the very last two players off the field yesterday were Tom Brady and Aaron Hernandez.
They're smart to do that, you know, and Brady, the leader that he is willing to put in the work with his tight ends. I like it. I like it. I'm disappointed Edelman's still been out of practice. You know?
Yep. You should be.
You know, thank goodness Welker is back, but I was excited to see what Edelman, you know, could contribute, you know, on all downs and also as a punt returner, because it looks like he had become the number one punt returner on the team.
And now Brandon Tate is assuming those reps, or at least did last week, and had the big kick return.
Yep.
I told these guys upstairs, I'm kind of intrigued by Tate, and I know he technically right now, I guess he's your starting receiver opposite Moss, but I'd be happy if he were just an impact return man, if he were just a good return man. You know, I'm not saying 97 yards every time he touches the ball, but I think he took his next one like 42 yards.
Bethel Johnson?
If he can bring me then the other stuff's gravy. Just give me an impact guy so I don't need to use Welker and Falk. And no offense to those guys, but I'll feel like every play, there's a chance. There's a chance he could take that punt 72 yards for a touchdown. There's a chance he could take the kickoff to the house. I'd be happy if he's just that, and whatever else I get, I'll bring it. Because that's what he's proven as. That's what he was in college at North Carolina. He was a proven big play returner who was maybe developing into a good big play receiver.
On the other note, Patrick Chung, did he take a step back on Thursday?
Wow. I continue to try to bring positives, and Fred just wants to go negative.
It really is amazing.
I say Gronkowski, he says Edelman.
Well, we've talked about Gronkowski. We all think he's great.
Listen, I don't think to single out, you know, McCourty and Chung, who are two young guys, I think, who struggled Thursday night, I don't think is fair because I don't think anybody.
Okay.
I don't think anybody on defense can leave that meeting room and say, I did my job. I don't think there's one guy that could say that.
I think Wilfork looked pretty good.
Okay. Wilfork looked pretty good.
Well, and I said,
I think they got run on, I'll tell you that.
He made like three plays. He was chasing a play down, and I said, is it going to be another year of Vince Wilfork, your nose tackle, is your only consistent playmaker? Because if so, you might be in trouble again. And actually, Bill brought up the other point that I said early in the game where on the run defense, it looks like they make a play, and it's a four-yard game.
Well,
and Bill said there were a
they
lot of plays he watched on tape where you go, there's no hole there, and at the end of the play, it's second and six.
Right.
That's a major problem.
Right.
It's one thing to have a hole and get run on. It's another thing to there's theoretically no hole, and yet you're still giving up 4 yards at a time.
I also thought the perimeters of the defense were vulnerable. And, you know, that's something to keep an eye on with Ty Warren out. You have Gerard Warren replacing him and Mike Wright on the other side. I think that you can run at those guys, and I think Steven Jackson had some success doing that early in the game. I think if he had stayed in that game for the half, he probably would have come close to 100 yards.
Oh, yeah. Get used to that.
He had 5 for 22, which isn't great numbers, but I thought that there was room when he was out there. And I thought, you know, when the other guy, Kenneth Darby, went in, I thought there was a guy like Jackson, I think, would have had some big gains.
I mean, that you have to take that. For whatever we think any other stuff can be, if you line up Mike Wright in front of Tully Bantakane, you are going to get run on.
Well, and then Fred talked about, you know, the Bengals and how they've improved, and I agree with Freddie on that. I do think it's a better team. That's an area of concern, too. We know they can run the ball. They ran the ball very effectively last year. Cedric Benson had a you know, kind of a nice bounce-back season, and that's how they're built. Well, now it appears, and Andy and I were talking about this on the way down, now it appears they might be able to throw the ball again if Carson Palmer can get back on track. Now, he's been struggling for a while now. He's been struggling with his health, and last year he struggled getting really anything going. But they have some weapons now with the addition of T.O. and Jermaine Gresham. And you know they can run the ball, so that's the kind of balanced offense that even in the best Patriots defensive days sort of gave them trouble, the teams that could do both. So it is an interesting opponent to lead off with. I fully expect the Patriots to win. You know, at home, I always expect them to win, obviously. But I think it's going to be a difficult – it's an intriguing matchup, and one, obviously, that we're going to be talking about a lot more as the days go by.
It's
here.
A good test right out of the gate for the defense. You know, they like you said, they pose challenges both on the ground, in the air.
In the
you know,
tight
say
end.
What you want about Terrell Owens. He's got size. He's got decent speed. Certainly knows how to get open. So he's a big target for Carson Palmer. And when you get Chad Ochocinco on the other side, it's tough. It's, you know, who do you double?
And they have a guy who was kind of Wes Welker, Julian Edelman-like in Jordan Shipley, who I didn't love coming out of college, but he's
but
sort
he
of
had some good tape.
He's fit
he
in.
Did have very good
tape.
He's
an
impressive player.
He was a big play machine at Texas.
Yeah,
there's
been
no
a playmaker since
that.
High school. I believe he's
absolutely.
Like high school.
They have him working. They have him working in the slot, and they've been using some three receiver sets with one back with Benson and now they have Gresham to go with Reggie Kelly, a good solid veteran tight end. So. They have some pieces. They have pieces
Gresham
to be a good team.
Gresham is the thing that I fear most right now. Because this team for three straight years has struggled with tight ends, and it looks like it's
all right, let's
be
go to Bill
year.
Belichick, who's coming to the podium, and hear what he has to say. No,
in a
Kevin's
minute.
Talking, telling me to keep talking. I guess he's not coming to the podium.
I just got distracted because I thought we had food.
Well, we do, but it's just sitting in there teasing us.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's go. Let's go to the podium.
In preseason, kind of the last preseason practice. So, looking forward to going down to New York, having a good experience here with the Giants, new stadium, and we'll let it roll.
How many practices have you had since?
I think it's like 38, something like that, 37, 38. Wait a minute. Yeah, that's about right. It's not the, you know, the 50 some we would have in, you know, back in the 80s, but it's about what it's been. Yeah, it's about what it's been.
By the end of the year, 200 is that
what total practices you have? It'd be nice to have 200. Yeah, I think top end be about 120. We have certain restrictions on how many days we can practice and all that, so. No. 24/7.
Hey, Bill, you've got question marks and unknowns every year. That's, you know, a given for one season. But this year, for whatever reason in general, you players not here, injuries, are there more questions this year going in than in general than there has been in the past or are the same? What do you look at that?
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't really rank one year with another 2 years ago. Just deal with whatever you have to deal with in the particular year and, you know, do the best you can with it.
Yeah. Do you have any news on the cuts? Do you have the five guys get a cut down?
No. No, that'll be at 4 o'clock.
Oh, well,
yeah, I mean, we'll find out here in a few weeks where we're at. Yeah, I mean, as far as an installation schedule and things like that, we have a lot of things installed. There are other things to do, but that's the way it always is.
Do
But we'll find out once we start the regular season competition. We'll find out where everybody is. Yeah, we just assigned to go out there. We just, you know, need a little more room here. Kickers and, you know, just we were going to go in there, but just felt be better off to go outside. Yeah, well, I mean, that's the NFL. Is that way in Detroit? Is that way in Indianapolis? Is that way in Philadelphia? Is that way in Denver? So.
You think they figured out which doors to open yet?
imagine they're working on it. Yeah, I think Brian's the type of player who's really learned a lot from all his experiences. You know, even last year when he was running the plays of the rookies, you know, against the other rookies, you know, I think he got a lot out of those sessions. We've talked about that. Even, you know, rookie 7-on-7 or rookie, you know, team drills, stuff like that. He's gotten a lot out of those drills, as well as the game reps, as well as all the, you know, reps last year as the number two, whether it be in practices or scout team. So, I mean, I think he's learned a lot from all those different experiences, and you definitely see him performing, you know, doing things that you can, if you really look at it, you can relate back to something, you know, a while ago, you know, similar situation, but it came up, you know, in a game or in a practice or in a preseason game or something that, you know, that he'll learn from, or a look or a read or that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody that's out there is under contract.
But Tom's never been this far before, so getting into the last year.
Well, every player on the field is under contract.
So it's not, you know, you wouldn't be concerned about somebody having the last year of the contract, even if it is a guy like Tom.
There's a lot of players on our team that are in the last year of their contract. There's a lot of players on every team that are in the last year of their contract. Like, that's not an unprecedented situation.
It,
look, we're coaching the team. I'm coaching the team. Everybody out there is under contract.
Would you say that Zach Robinson was at a similar level that Brian Hoyer was at?
You know, Brian did things pretty well, pretty quickly. So I don't know if Zach's had the opportunity that Brian's had, but... You know, I think Brian set the bar. Brian, Matt Castle, those guys set the bar at a pretty good level. So I think it's hard to compare, you know, players' development. Players don't always develop at the same rate, and that doesn't mean the ones that start fast don't fizzle out. It doesn't mean the ones that start slow don't accelerate and become great. You can find plenty of examples of both. So I think Brian was a fast starter. And I think he caught everybody's eye pretty quickly.
I'm just curious from a roster standpoint. You know, like every team, you have a bunch of guys who most of their job is on special teams for one, 3 or 4 years. You know, how many roster spots can you carve out for those type of guys? If they are 6 or 10, how do you kind of handle that?
Well, I think you look at a player's overall value to your team, and not just his value, but also all the other people that you use to comprise that roster, and then put together the most competitive team that you can. But you know, just about everybody has more than one responsibility. Very few guys that just do one thing, and whether in the kicking game or not, depending on what that role is, but sometimes it could be, for example, offensive and defensive linemen who maybe don't have as big a role in the kicking game have to play more you know, play different positions, you know, in the line, that type of thing. So, almost everybody really has some type of, you know, multiple responsibilities, whether it's extends on the special teams or whether it's, you know, at different positions, you know, on their side of the ball, sometimes a combination of both. So it's, you know, it's hard to really just say one guy just does one thing unless he's a, you know, a true specialist, or there's a few players that do that, but not many. The majority of them don't. I think every opportunity to evaluate players is important in preseason. The games, the practices, and the fewer there are, then the more important those final ones become. And again, a lot of young players, the first time through it, the second time through it, they don't quite have the confidence, they don't have the full understanding of it, and then as that process builds through multiple practices, multiple games, they become more confident in their play improves, they're more aggressive, they just have a better understanding. So, you know, you keep going through that process as long as you can. You know, when you had six games, you did it six times, and you have four, you know, you do it four. And you learn a little bit more each time about the player and the evaluation. So,
that's good.
All right, let's, unfortunately, Bill wasn't mentioning any of the roster moves that they're going to do. He said he's going to wait till 4 o'clock, and we couldn't hear the questions anyway, so we figured we'd get back. He's just talking about opportunities with players and nothing that Eric can't fill us in later.
A lot of Brian Hoyer talk.
Yeah, Eric will fill us in later when he gets here between practice. So didn't think we'd be missing out anything. No disrespect to Coach Belichick, but we got a show to do here, so. Anyway, lunch today was brought to us by who?
James Pettigrew.
James Pettigrew. Nice. Thank you, James. Appreciate that. I'm trying to look. Does he have an email here? I don't think he sent us an email.
No. Maybe not, but he also volunteered to help us out during the regular season, too, once a week, which will be a huge help.
Really? Like, he's a Hall of writing Famer.
No. Oh. With lunch.
Oh, right. Okay. That'd be great.
He could write too, Fred. I'm sure he's a very intelligent man.
I would imagine. He listens to this show. All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Got a lot of emails, so we should probably just get to them. Because you never know when Eric's going to stroll
yes,
in.
Yes, Paul, he did say, I'm going to cut in and then I'll take a break. So I never even put my headphones on, but he's gone 5 minutes here without taking a break. So I'm assuming we're not taking a break.
Well, no, we'll take a break and then we'll get to the emails. So let's take a break.
When the boss says it.
For those that want Patriot Talk with other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to Patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. Says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited, but only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won
buying Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on a New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Have you ever had a lobster bisque?
I have not.
You don't know from soup then if you haven't had one.
You don't know from soup.
You don't know from
soup. Is it a soup?
Every once in a while, it turns into that 1955 character.
Lobster bisque.
Then why isn't it called lobster soup?
But you have a good lobster bisque, just
because there's a stew, a soup, or is
no
it a stew?
No soup for you.
It's like sex for your throat.
Is a chowder a soup? Eric already has sex for his throat.
Fred, why do you do this?
I had nothing to do with you.
Yes, you did.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
Poor Eric. Anyway, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Web radio at patriots.com. We're, of course, talking Patriots until 2 o'clock. Just heard a little of Bill Belichick's press conference, but no news as to any roster moves today. We'll have to wait till 4 o'clock for that. We assume that there will be some guys placed on IR. Patriots, RI. Some guys might go to Rhode Island. You never know. But all teams have to get down to 75 today. So we have this fly flying around the studio. It's as big as my thumb. And now Andy's got one of those little toy lacrosse sticks, and he's going to try to hit it.
Oh, I'll get
so
it.
So this is going to be bad. Just
if we go off the air, though, it's
make sure the Coke bottles are the tops are on the Coke bottles, because this is okay.
Well, our game Thursday night's at 7 p.m., not 7:30. Is that accurate?
Is that right? I don't know.
That's good. Every little bit helps in a night game.
Sure.
When a hurricane's coming.
Well, in particular, in that.
What are they saying about that? We could brush
Friday.
Us.
Yeah, it could be anything from 10-mile-an-hour, normal, a little rain, little wind, to if it takes a little left turn and that front comes late, 100-mile-an-hour winds.
Yep.
And it'll be Friday afternoon to evening. So,
when are you closing your pool, Paul? Have you got a date yet? No?
Better be sure to bring your boat in, Andy.
My pool's looking really good right now, and I can't use it. It's
why can't you use it?
Because I'm working.
But you don't go home at night and take
the weather's,
a quick swim?
No, I want to do it, you know, during the day. The weather's beautiful right now.
No, the kids have actually, they were both in yesterday. They're probably in all week. And we'll have a get-together at my house on Sunday with my family, just kind of a late summer Labor Day kind of deal.
Not if this hurricane thing happens.
But by Sunday we'll be
and,
fine.
Which you wouldn't be able to have
by Sunday we'll
if the
fine.
NFL schedule got expanded and there were a game that day. Just saying.
Yeah, but I would have had it last week instead.
And then it would be different.
Problem
it
solved.
It would be Labor Day weekend. Cut your summer shorter. My point exactly, Andy wins.
Okay.
Can we talk about something?
Well,
Jermaine Cunningham.
Yeah, hurt.
I'm really concerned.
Yeah.
I really thought he was the key to the defense. I held out hope that he was going to make the transition quick and be an impact player you know, at least to rotate with Banta Kane and Burgess. And now he's, I mean, it's August 11th, I think it was. So now we're now 3 weeks into, he's missed, Bill just referenced 37 practices. He's probably missed 25 of them. I'm just.
It's disappointing. You know,
and I'm not faulting him. I'm not saying he's faking. I'm just saying it's disappointing in that he will not be who he could have been, no matter what. If he has, even if he plays and has 8 sacks, then I'll contend had he practiced all of August, he might have had 12.
Right.
It's like these quarterbacks that hold out. I think it forever stunts your rookie development, and I just, it's too bad.
It is too
yet
bad.
Another year where we're not going to have the young impact outside linebacker that we're lusting after.
Dwight from Enterprise, Alabama writes in, I enjoy listening to the show, he says. I have a few questions. One, can G-Force become the rookie of the year?
Yes, he already has my vote.
yes, he could. He could.
He could. He will, he likely will not, because numbers win those awards.
Usually a running back or a quarterback.
Somebody who has impressive numbers, and as good as he'll be, we've talked about, some of it will be blocking. It might only be 2 or 3 catches a game. You know, the one way he might get there is if he has a ridiculous touchdown total. Like, remember, Vernon Davis last year had, like, 6 in the first 2 games or some ridiculous number early in the year, and I believe broke the tight end touchdown record, finishing with 14, 13. So if Gronkowski did that, which he's clearly on pace for based on his preseason, then, yes, he could win it. But otherwise, Fred's right. You know, C.J. Spiller, some running back who has 1,000 yards and more highlights, has
a better
chance.
Spiller, you know, has a good chance.
Des Bryant.
But I agree with the premise that it's the numbers, but he plays a position that is in line. I mean, he plays a position where he could get numbers. Now, I don't think he will. I
put Aaron Hernandez ahead of him because I think he's going to get more catches.
I agree. But, I mean,
but I still say he's the better player.
Let's not dismiss him because there won't be the subtleties of the people watching won't pick
no,
up
but
on it.
He could have a great year with 37 catches and 8 touchdowns or 7 touchdowns. And that'll get trumped by 1,100 yards and 9 touchdowns or something. I mean,
but in that case, I would say that he deserves to be trumped, don't you?
Not necessarily. If Spiller is just the Bills' offense and gets those numbers, and Gronkowski's helping the Patriots to 12 wins and a playoff berth, then I think he's the better rookie. He was an impact rookie on a good team.
I'd have to see it. We'd have to see it to be able to make a determination like that.
Vernon had 13 last year, Andy.
Yeah! Hit it right on the number.
I nodded when you said 13.
Yeah, but sometimes you just nod, and I never know if you're really nodding or just nodding off, you old coot.
The second question from Dwight is this the first time that Brady has felt good about a rookie tight end?
No. I wouldn't know. I think he felt good about Graham and Watson.
He was pretty high on Graham, and he was pretty high on Watson.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in Watson's case, he got hurt in the first game.
Right.
And how many good years do you think this team of now are still Super Bowl contenders? So how many good years do you think this team of now are still Super Bowl? So how many years can they contend for the Super Bowl with the current team, I guess he's saying?
Zero.
Zero.
With the current team? I don't think right now they're a Super Bowl contender.
No?
Given the lack of defensive end, outside linebacker, pass defense, I think this team is not one of the elite teams
in
the NFL
today. So in
order
for the Patriots to be a contender, they need to add people to the roster.
Or just get better. Well, maybe Patrick Chung is a dominant playmaker. Maybe Darius Butler is a dominant playmaker. Yeah, but the team today is not a Super Bowl contender. Today, August 31st, 2010.
Yeah, but I suppose to answer specifically that question, this team, the last point that Andy made might be right. Maybe a year from now, 2 years from now, this team could be Super.
But doesn't the answer to that all have to do with Brady?
Yes.
You know.
Oh, so now you've jumped sides on the great debate. You want Brady as long as possible because you're a Super Bowl contender. Anytime you have Brady,
to me.
Interesting.
That debate.
No
is
further
over.
Question. Yes, exactly. I won.
The question is about this team.
I'm glad Eric's not here for this question because I asked him and he said that the next time the team made a Super Bowl, none of us would be here.
Eric, he's such a negative little
Eric
man.
Is, all of a sudden, he's just turned
Eric's,
into this.
You know what? He's miserable about life, and he's taking it out on his job.
Fred, the funny part is we were looking at the season preview issue.
Most people
issue.
Are miserable at their job, and they take it out at life.
He needs a woman
he's
in his
He's the opposite.
Life.
Last year, he predicted this team to go 14-2 this week. And then, like, by mid-October, if you remember, he was saying, the dynasty's dead, the season's over, this team's closed the door. How did he go from 14-2 to half empty?
It just kills him. that he has to socialize and work with people of our ilk every
day. Oh, no
day.
Question. No question.
Just kills him.
No question.
Or elk, as Andy likes to say.
You know,
which kills Eric.
He should be with his highfalutin, you know, highbrow.
But he's not highfalutin. He thinks he is, but he isn't.
It doesn't matter what he is.
He wants to be. Just like he wanted to go to Brown, and had he gone to Brown, maybe he'd be highfalutin. But he went BU. He low-classed it. Or, you know, not Brown.
What's that now?
What?
The low-classing thing?
You know, it's not the Ivy League. He didn't get to the Ivy League.
Yeah, I'll be the first
to forever hurt him.
Not the Ivy League, but it wasn't exactly low-class.
Well, you know what I mean.
He used pretty expensive, you know.
Well, just because something's expensive doesn't mean it's good.
No. Anyway, Dwight finishes up.
He says, compared to Ivy League, it is.
I think this team will go under the radar this year, and when the playoffs start, the Pats come out and mollywop everybody. Never heard that term before.
Well, I think they would do well to make the playoffs.
Wow, he's very negative over there.
No. I think that they will be a playoff contender.
Good news, guys. I scared the fly away when I brought out the lacrosse thing.
Never has a nickname been more appropriate, by the way, Fred, than yours. Term for Eric of being Squidward,
yeah,
from SpongeBob.
He is Squidward.
Anybody who's ever watched SpongeBob knows exactly what you're talking about,
yep.
And that describes Eric to a T.
Oh yeah.
Now that perfect. I think about, I've never heard you say that, Fred, but that is spot on.
He's Squidward.
Have we done the rest of it?
He can't believe that someone of his intelligence.
He even played the clarinet.
He can't believe that someone of his intelligence is forced to go to work at the same job as someone of with the intelligence level the three of us
have. So are you and I like SpongeBob and the other losers
Patrick.
On the show?
Patrick. I'm Patrick because I'm the idiot. Well, actually, Fred's Patrick.
Patrick's the chubby one.
Fred's actually Patrick, though, because he's always like making jokes and having fun and being a goofball.
I live under
Andy,
a rock.
Andy, you can be Gary the Snail.
I want to be SpongeBob.
No, I'm Mr. Claw, whatever. I'm the bot, right?
Yeah, I'm Patrick. You're Mr. Krabs.
Mr. Krabs. Let's see. Who's this? Is this Aaron? Who's writing here? I got to go to the bottom of the email. It doesn't say.
It's usually how it works.
I think it's Sterling, maybe? I'm not sure.
Why don't anyway, you use two hands?
He said, Fred, this is a question that Paul Perillo needs to address ASAP, and it should be addressed for the first hour of the show. No phone calls from Anthony from Naples or Mike from Puerto Rico. Blow those guys up. Question. When do we move from the not playing well response to skills are not adequate and or below subpar to fill the requirements of that position? This applies to the lackadaisical members of the defense, mainly the secondary. I couldn't believe what I was hearing on ESPN radio that night. Sam Bradford completes his first six passes for a touchdown. Then 15 minutes later, Sam's first nine passes racks up over 125 yards. Guys, what the hell is going on? I saw the interview with Darius Butler, and he said he's not surprised by Spam IM's performance because he's the number one draft pick. Does he want to play for Spam now? Have we no pride? Come on, I know this that some heads need to roll after this game. Bodden, cut Butler, trade Merriweather. These guys are first and second rounders and even veterans. There is no way in hell you let a goofy-looking rookie come into your house, walk in the kitchen, open the fridge, and start snacking. Then slap your wife in the tush. This is what Spam Bradford did. This has to be the lowest performance of the defense. This is a shame. I really think these guys are worthless. McCourty is dumb also. So what's up with
big
Ron
idiot.
Ankle brace? What the F? Mess this roach is. Straight bum. Kill yourself. Now he goes into like telling people to kill themselves. So I'll
what the hell
that.
Are you oh, guys
so that's where
up
he stopped being
now.
Reasonable.
But, I don't really have to answer that, do I?
But, you know, again, it's one preseason game.
Yeah.
You know, so
as
let's,
disappointing as it was.
Yeah.
And listen, you weren't with us, Freddie, because you had, you know, your big-time events that you had to tend to. Andy, Eric, and I spent a good hour just kind of looking at each other saying, is this really happening? Are the Rams really marching the ball up and down the field, holding the ball for 10 minutes at a time regularly? We couldn't believe it.
And
watching it.
Was it once again that they're just giving him the cushion, or were they just getting beat, or, you know, what was the deal?
Everything was soft.
It was a little bit of everything.
Just soft. That's how I would describe it, soft.
We don't play press coverage. No. I mean, it just seems that we just don't want to get in guys' face and challenge them.
Bill actually, several times during the game, came off the sidelines screaming at the corners, yelling at them to get up. So he was trying to convey.
He's trying to get him to do it.
Yeah.
They're just afraid to do it.
Well, I think in particular on some of those plays that they put some pressure on, Andy, that we talked about with some of the secondary come. I think Merriweather had one Chung had one. I think Bodden went on one. He didn't get there.
All the safeties, I believe, got their chances.
Yeah, Sanders had one. He didn't get there that you kind of said, oh, well, it's not Jimmy's game.
It's true.
I think on those particular plays, Bill probably wants tight coverage, knowing the ball is going to get out quickly. You're planning on getting there. So you need to be up on the guy, up on the receiver, and short of the first down. And
right.
I'll
but how
you,
do the players just ignore him?
The only plays that were not succeeding for the Rams the other night, and I know this sounds stupid, but they had the play, and they either missed a wide-open receiver or the receiver dropped the ball. The receivers had about two passes go right through hands, wide open on slants, Bradford's pass. Then there was the Laurent Robinson one was the most glaring. He was wide open for a touchdown at the end of the first half. Bradford's throw just sailed to the outside and long. I thought that the only plays that failed all night for the Rams were of the Rams' doing. The Patriots didn't take a thing away for 60 minutes.
Bill and Malden, boy, you guys really went melodramatic with the too much outside linebacker talk comment I had last week.
This is directed at Andy. I like it.
Leave it to you guys to take some constructive criticism and blow it out of proportion. Paul always plays the you can't make anybody happy, oh, woe is me card.
That's true.
Andy just lets the pressure overload in his big head and goes on some ridiculous rant that no one even understands. We all want you to talk about the weak spots in the team, but let's not beat it into the ground. How much can you talk about the same problem that we already have known about for months? Mike Vrabel and Willie Mack from 2004 aren't walking through that door. What we have here is what we have. If the Patriots could find a way to win with Earthwind Moreland and Troy Brown playing corner, then I have faith that Bill will find a way to win with Burgess, TBC, Ninkovich, and Woods playing outside linebacker. The glass is not always half empty. So there. Hear, hear, Bill. on the phone right
this
now.
This from the guy who thinks the worst of everything from the other night.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Kevin from Redding's on the phone. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Andy. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Kevin.
Well, I don't get a hello.
That's very down for you.
Well,
what's the matter?
I was okay, and then you guys came back from the break, and Fred read three more emails.
Oh.
Well, Kevin, you haven't heard? There's a listener backlash.
Yeah, there's a movement afoot to eliminate phone calls.
Well, okay. You guys...
And you're one of the reasons. I hate to say it.
Well, it doesn't... The way I feel, it doesn't really matter what the people writing the emails say. It matters what you guys say.
That's right.
Now, you read one of those emails where you're saying, get rid of this guy, get rid of that guy. That's what you get when you get emails. People will write the nastiest, dumbest things in an email, because when you're writing something, you feel you can get away with it. You know, if they had any sack, they would get on the phone and call up.
That's a great point.
It's a good point, Kevin.
Kevin's got the ball.
Although not
to
everyone
call
is local.
And criticize.
A lot of our listeners are from
oh,
all over.
Who
the...
cares?
Well, it costs
Pick up
money.
A phone. No, it doesn't. In this day and age, nobody pays
unless
per
you
phone
have
call.
The Skype.
We should get Skype.
Even cell phones. Everybody's got all these $69.99 all everything plan with no roaming. Everybody can call if they want to. Kevin's okay. Right. If they had the stones, they'd call. They don't, so they email.
All right.
You know, the one thing I agree with, there was that 35-minute call with Michael in Puerto Rico when they had Paul the Solo Show. Even I was crawling up the wall on that one. But Michael,
I had a 35-minute call?
Yeah, when Michael first called.
That's this guy. I got no stones.
I must have fallen asleep.
but I
resign.
Michael's a good caller. Anthony from Naples is a good caller. Like you say, they sack up. And we'll call and give their opinion. Where you got these guys that hide behind email. It just sickens me.
Okay, so more importantly, what do you got for football today?
Pat's defense. You know, that game was just an abortion defense. But you can hear it, and especially this weekend. I was homesick this weekend, so I was listening to Ted Sarandis on the Sports Hub. And
this is your first mistake.
Yeah, he was about ready to throw himself off the bridge the way he was talking. You would think the Patriots are going to be a 6-win team.
He's a bit of a fraud, because when they win titles, he thinks that gives them like a 5-year free pass, so they should still be on their free passes from their three previous titles. So the man's a fraud.
There was a play in the fourth quarter where Willite was on the outside receiver. The outside receiver came called in. And then the slot receiver crawled out. and it looked like it was a zone because the inside cover guy was staying on the, you know, let the outside guy go and Willite followed it. So then you had one receiver and you had three guys around him. Right. And then that was the play where the guy caught the ball and ran down the zone, ran down the sideline and scored, and they reviewed it, and he, and it was a touchdown. It just seemed to me that encapsulated the whole defense backs that game. It was, I thought the pressure, to be honest with you, the one thing about that impressed me about Bradford is the way he did handle the pressure, because I thought they were getting some decent pressure to him. Because, you know, pressure isn't just sacking him. Pressure's getting in a guy's face. And I thought they did that fairly well that game. It's just, it seemed everything underneath was just open. And, you know, I didn't have the stomach to rewatch the game to kind of figure out why. But, you know, I'm not going to panic too much.
Right.
The first two games, they did show some stuff.
All right. Well, Kevin gave it his best. That's okay.
Gave it as long as I could.
Yeah.
Kevin, we love you. You're one of the few that have the stones to call.
No, yeah. You got to kind of have a point and then make it and then start a discussion, you know.
It's
not you call and you have your own radio.
It's a new era, right, Fred? You call, you get 30 seconds, make your point,
well, yeah,
on to the next
of,
one.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can talk about pressure and you can talk about sack in the face, but, you know, I don't know what he was going.
Well, it's the same old thing. It's the Belichick thing. The pass defense is the pressure and the coverage coming together.
Right. Let's see. DT from NJ is a first-time emailer.
Oh.
He
Does
says,
he know TJ
and I've
NJ?
Been listening for a few years now. You guys provide the best pass coverage around. I'm excited for the NFL season. I think this offense will be able to put up some points. However, this defense will suck like it has for the last 5 years. Our defensive genius can't seem to get any quarterback pressure for the last 5 years. After the Rams game, I'm with Andy at 6-10.
Son of a...
I know it's only preseason. I'm actually thinking 10-6.
I've never predicted 6-10.
Yes, you have. All that said,
that is the number most associated with you.
Yes, that is true. That verb associated with.
But that's all I'm going by. I didn't say that.
You are the one who associated it.
You're like Obama. Everybody
really
thinks
not
he's
true.
Muslim. You know,
that's real. Well, all he would have to do is say he's not.
Well, I think he has
kind of ended that. But anyway,
oh boy,
we don't need to go down
tick,
that road.
Tick, tick, tick.
Which beside the fact is who really cares? I don't understand why it's
right.
that big of an issue.
It,
but
it
anyway,
should be. Anyway. Yeah,
No Socks is the one who was first associated you with that record because I actually said he didn't say that. There's no way he's ever said.
And if they lose to the Bengals, he'll be embracing it. Believe me, 6-10.
But that
you actually embraced it. You actually said if they lose to the Bengals, you could see where I'm coming from.
0-2.
You said you could see where I'm coming from. That it could be a very long first month and a half.
You said if they lose the first two games, what, they'll go 6-10?
I said it's going to be a tough season.
See, I think there's a really strong possibility that they end up like 4-4 or maybe even 3-5. But I think they'll be a much better team in the second half for a couple of reasons, not the least of which I think the schedule is a little bit more favorable in the second half. But also, I think these young guys that are playing on defense have to get better, provided that they don't all get hurt.
Right.
They have to be better, I think, once they've played some games together than they will
Do they
be probably.
Have to be? All right. Let's.
I work for PFW. That's what I have to think.
Let's take a break. When we come back, Eric's here, and we'll get the scoop on everything that he's been up to.
PFW in progress. Not your run-of-the-mill talk show.
Look, I'm not sure this place is working. The drinkers are smoking, the smokers are drinking, and the gamblers are having sex with everything that moves.
Patriots.com Radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel. Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Third one today. Okay. Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Tuesday's edition of PFW in Progress featured Fred flying solo. Well, Hilo is there.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Everything seemed to be going well until this topic came up.
If anyone has used the contraption called the Nut Wizard, I think you can find that at nutwizard.com. It's not what you think. It's for picking up, like, acorns in your yard. I have a ton of acorns, so I'm looking for the best way to pick up acorns in my yard without breaking my back, you know. So I saw this thing. It's like a cage with spokes, and you roll it, and supposedly it just picks up the acorns. But I want to, before I, it's like $49. And I want to buy it, you know, if it only works half the time or whatever. Or if someone has a better way to pick up acorns.
Now, back to the Nut Wizard. I mean, Fred, and hopefully the rest of the PFW boys.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. On the phone right now, we have a first-time caller, I think, Nate from Southern California. Hey, Nate.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing good. How are you doing?
Doing good. I had a couple quick questions for you.
Okay.
I am doing a fantasy draft for the first time this year, and I've just seen how stellar G-Force has been in the red zone. I'm thinking if I should stick with him or go with someone more traditional like a Witten or a Gonzalez.
I'd go with someone more traditional.
I wouldn't go with Gonzalez.
I think I think Gronkowski could be a good number two tight end.
He's going to be.
And late in the year, you might say he develops. I wouldn't make him your starting tight end.
You worried about his age?
Or if somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, I wouldn't have him as your number one.
I mean, if you had a chance to, I mean, those are the premier tight ends. If you had a chance to get one of those, I would take one of those. Gates, Witten, Gonzalez, certainly those guys that, you know.
I think Gonzalez is going to spend a lot of time on the bench this year because of health.
What about Welker?
Well, you know, that's Welker's we thought you were talking about tight ends. I mean, yeah. Welker's going to have numbers.
Yeah, I'm switching gears now.
It all depends on your league. This is a better question for B-Lo. When's the B-Lo fantasy report start? Because I know there's different scoring systems in different leagues. Welker is a guy, if your league counts
yards,
the catches.
Yeah.
Catches, are, I mean, Welker, I think, is going to get a lot of. I think he's going to be not far off his normal production load in terms of receptions, but he's never really been a huge touchdown guy, and he's not really going to rack up a huge amount of yards either. So I don't know what the scoring system that's most important in your league.
You have the Stapleford in yours, Paul?
Yeah, the modified Stapleford system.
What's that?
I have one last question for Fred, if I could ask that.
Sure.
Fred, maybe you can help me out. Is it okay to pick the Jets D as your number one defense if you're doing fantasy?
I would definitely do that. Or the Ravens.
Yeah.
The Packers.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look,
I would stay away,
especially if you're playing. If you're playing for,
no one can pick the Jets under any circumstances.
Well, you know, if you're playing for money, you got to do what you have to do. You know. I mean, you know.
All right, cool. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Nate, call back anytime.
Take care.
Thanks, Nate.
I think Nate wanted to try to get under my.
He had a real sports call.
That was a good succinct call.
He wanted to get under Fred's skin.
Made his point and get out.
I think he wanted to hurry up and get out before he overstayed his welcome. Like some callers.
Well, you know, it's good to.
Well, were you here? We had to blow up Kevin. From Reading.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't here for
that.
He made a good point that, you know, those people who hide behind emails don't have the balls to call. Good point. And then he decided to now go on a monologue about everything about, you know.
But in fairness to the people who email, they have more balls than the people who don't even contribute at all.
True. I guess it's
now we're ranking balls.
it's ball relative.
Oh, well done.
Where's it? 10 minutes later, as usual.
So let's get to. Can we get to the practice update?
Well, hold on. I never finished. I never finished DT from NJ's. He has a little over under.
Intrigued by that competition.
He has a little over under for us.
Over.
12 Brady DeMoss TDs.
Under.
I'll say over. I'm going to say over.
Yeah.
I'll say over.
83 catches for Welker.
Over.
I'm going to say over on that.
I'll say under.
Really?
Yeah. Not by much, but.
81 catches for Moss.
Under.
Under.
I'll say under.
3.9 yards per carry for Phony Maroney.
Over.
Under.
Over.
Really? Over. 15 combined touchdowns between Crumpler, Hernandez, and G-Force.
Under.
Over.
Just under.
Under.
16 incidents of New England defenders being overpowered.
Over.
Over.
Everything against
under. I'll go under.
You are unfreaking believable.
I just said over for pretty much everything.
One meaningful sack by New England defenders.
Over.
Over. Over. I mean, I know he's being funny there. Yeah.
55% chance of Junior Seau returning from graduation.
Under. Under.
And a 0.1% chance of Brady getting a haircut. Ooh, I think he will.
That's a tough call.
I think this season that's under.
That's
for whatever reason, this is what he's chosen to go with.
All right. All right, so Eric is here, and he's had a few bites of his sandwich.
Yeah, doing all right.
Eric likes to take his time with food.
I do.
He doesn't.
I don't like to rush.
Right. He doesn't wolf it
down. Cause gastrointestinal problems.
That's
like
the
some
proper way to eat.
Right. Well, I know it is.
It's also what girls do.
I try.
Not hard enough, my friend.
What? I said that's the proper way to eat. They overruled me.
A lot of missing players today, guys.
A lot of missing players.
You want the good news first or the bad? I always forget which one you like.
I want the good news first because I'm positive.
Okay. If there's a lot of players, is there really any good news?
Well, Brady and Moss were still out there.
Brady and Moss were still out there. Myron Pryor returned.
Oh, good.
After missing some sessions. That's pretty much it on the positives. As far as people who weren't
there.
That
means we can't go down the list and say Richard Pryor today.
No,
yeah, that's
we
disappointing.
Can't. We can't. Sorry. But bad news, Edelman remains out, and he's not even cited among the shorts and sweats guys who go off and do rehab stuff. There were only four of them today, actually, too.
Then they gonna go
also should note, they switched practice. It was supposed to be out in the stadium. It was actually up on the practice fields where it normally is. But that was a last-minute change, so by the time we got out there...
you missed the stretching?
Well, yeah. They didn't. There was no stretching for the media period, so we had to... It was like a even...
More abbreviated,
quicker,
abbreviated.
More abbreviated session. Anyway, no Edelman, no Terrence Wheatley or Lee Bodden, same as yesterday. Kyle, Brett Lockett, Kyle Arrington, Chris Taylor, Brandon McGowan, Brandon Dedrick, Kazier, Aaron Hernandez, Daryl Richard, Jermaine Cunningham, Ron Brace, and, of course, Logan Mankins remains unsigned.
That's a lot of guys.
Ron Brace can't get a break, huh?
Yeah, because he really – this is probably the most extended success that we've seen from Ron Brace was the second half of the Atlanta game and the St. Louis game. He was – I mean, he really flashed. He showed up and made some plays. I mean, the tackles that he was making were noticeable. You saw the plays that he was making, and then
he was among he the hurt his ankle. Four rehab guys that we saw leaving the field to go into the
And we should
bubble.
Point out there was a report that I think Mike Reese had that said that it wasn't as serious as maybe they originally feared.
Yeah.
But you're right, Fred. He can't seem to catch a break.
Because he could be a starter. I mean, the Mike Wright experiment could last for, you know, X number of weeks. And if Brace could build off what he did, as you said, second half Atlanta, then against the Rams, if he could build, who knows, late September, early October, we might be saying maybe Ron Brace needs to take over as the starter at right defensive end.
Remember how we talked during the offseason at times when we said you could kind of look at something and say that's a really good sign. I would be excited about that. Sure. I think Jermaine Cunningham was a guy we used. If we saw him starting at outside linebacker,
on the field.
I mean, obviously what's taken place since then has sort of eliminated that. But back in May, if you had said Jermaine Cunningham's going to start the
great
Bengals
sign.
Game at outside linebacker, I would say that's a great sign. Well, if Ron Brace could emerge as a starter at defensive end instead of Mike Wright, and this is no disrespect for Wright because I think he's a terrific player.
Super sub.
I don't want him playing every down. I know
he's Kevin Falk.
Bill sort of poo-pooed that yesterday, but I think he's better on a limited basis.
Yeah, and
I think that would be a great sign to see a guy like Ron Brace make that much progress
right.
that he would earn that. Not you don't just give it to him. I mean,
no.
He has to earn it.
Right, but the fact that you invest that high a pick in a guy, you want him to contribute as quickly as possible. And
sure.
He was a non-factor last year, basically, so this was his year. And you're right, the times he has gotten to play – in the preseason, he's done
flash.
Pretty well.
Much better than last year.
And it's hard to flash at that spot.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard
exactly.
to really show. You brought up Wilfork, Andy, earlier in the day about the Rams game, saying this is going to be another one of those years where our playmaker is going to be our nose tackle. It's hard to flash at that
right.
spot. You know, when you're up there, one of those three guys, and you're just kind of taking up space and
right.
trying to occupy the blockers and stuff.
I mean, how many years do we say, you know, we don't really see it, but Richard Seymour must be really good because of what other team, other players and coaches say about him. You know, it's hard when you're just watching a game from the network point of view to see Patriots linemen, defensive linemen, you know, doing stuff because they're just there to, you know, take up space, like Paul said, and, you know, react, you know, read and react.
I thought he was going to say take up space like
Paul does.
Earlier we were talking about SpongeBob. TG and NJ says you guys got it right. Eric is Squidward. Andy is SpongeBob. Paul is Mr. Krabs. Fred is Mr. Krabs. Paulie is Patrick.
Yeah.
Although you could make an argument to switch Fred and Paul with Mr. Krabs and Patrick. Fred definitely has his Patrick moment several times a show.
Yes, you guys but Fred, for Fred's the boss, though, so he has to get Mr. Krabs.
Very similar color palette going on with you guys today.
Yes,
Andy's got the bright orange.
We've
you've
discussed
got the
it.
Peach.
I'm sorry, we like to be colorful, and you have drab tan.
You've got the salmon.
Or I'm sure it's not tan. You'll tell me it's a different something.
It's tan.
Now, how come you don't wear an undershirt under that shirt, Eric, polo shirt? How come you don't wear
I've never
undershirt?
Been that kind of person.
You've always wore undershirts. He just told you
I've never been that kind of person. I just
you
said.
When you wear a normal shirt, like a you know, button-down shirt.
It depends on how warm it is outside.
That's my
philosophy. So you wear it for warmth?
No.
No, to suck up the sweat.
Yeah, you don't want that stuff getting...
Well,
you don't
actually,
want pit
no,
stains.
It's pretty warm
no, it's
out.
Just the opposite. When it's cold out, I wear extra layers. When it's warm
oh,
out,
no,
I wear
never
fewer
wear
layers.
So like I said, you
me
do it
I would never wear a t-shirt for
yes.
a layer.
You yeah. do it for warm.
Yeah. Are you with me or him?
I'm with Paul.
Yeah.
Use it to soak up the sweat and keep the pit
during training
stains
camp
up.
When we're outside?
And that's
no,
the,
because,
the
see...
Interesting verb choice. Suck up the sweat. I like how you said that. I use it to suck up the sweat.
Okay.
No, but see, to me, that's an extra layer that makes you hotter, that
nah,
forces
no,
you to sweat more.
No.
It's a catch 22.
You gotta get, you don't, you get, you
it's
gotta
better than
that
walking around
butt.
With huge wet patches
yeah,
under
exactly.
your arms.
You gotta nip
that
or like
chicks
under
like,
his breasts. Paul gets this little thing of sweat under
I
his breasts.
I do
breath.
Not.
Really bothers
you are him. Unbelievable.
I don't normally have that problem, though.
You don't have breasts.
No, not that problem.
Oh.
I don't like to be really hot. So
that's why I wear fewer
during
layers.
Training camp when we
Eric,
go
outside.
Eric, you don't
strike me as a guy who would sweat anyway.
No. I have the t-shirt underneath.
Girls don't sweat.
Don't tell me that a t-shirt is a layer and that's going to keep you warmer. T-shirt's like made of paper. It's not going to keep you warm.
Right.
Ah, fat. Right. So that's what I get for trying to defend you
no,
earlier.
Paul, get it right. It's harumph.
Harumph.
Pshaw.
That's another one.
Let's see.
When
Alex
did this turn into Batman when we're like writing in the world?
508-543-7482 is the phone number, web radio at patriots.com. Alex from Georgia. Hello, guys. Tubby and Andy.
That's my boo, wow. Right?
Man, is there any video with the bird deucing on Paul?
No.
I would love to see the reaction. No, there is.
We all just kind of laughed.
Yeah.
Well, at first it was a little bit of, did that just happen?
Well, at first I thought it was rain.
Oh, I thought it was raining.
Just bought a house a couple weeks ago.
I still say, I don't understand that. Fred, have you ever seen a bright sunny day where all of a sudden you get a quick sun shower?
Yes, when there were clouds in the sky. There were
I didn't look up to, you know, assess the meteorological situation. I'm sorry.
Another example
of how Eric is just a little bit smarter than the rest of us and disgusted that he has to work with us.
Alex says, just bought a house a couple weeks ago, so once I get settled in, I'll be subscribing to the paper again.
Good. Congrats.
When I moved down here, I stopped it because I was getting the game release days after the game was played. I saw that Brandon Spike's jersey is available at the Pro Shop now. Any idea if that's the only rookie jersey that's going to be available, or are they going to have one for Gronkowski? I would imagine there'll be a Gronkowski one coming
soon.
Depends
who produces.
I would think. But, you know,
maybe
Gronkowski, Hernandez will be in the mix.
Maybe we get Ken Flanders on the phone and find
those
out.
Those are always exciting, those phone calls.
Hi, you have reached the desk of Ken Flanders.
Maybe we should do a whole show on Shop Talk.
Hi. I love that.
Hi.
Hi.
Let's see.
Maybe there'll be a Mesco.
Paul in London wants to do a full 53-man roster like we did last year.
No.
We had that in the paper.
We did that 2 issues ago.
I said to Paul, I'm so sick of these 53-man roster predictions. Every paper does it 7 times, starting in May, updating it every preseason game. Enough already.
You know what? And I don't want to pretend that we, you know, sort of broke new ground.
We did. We invented
doing this. But there was a time when not everybody was doing their 53-man rosters. Now, the same papers have done it 4 or 5 times in the summer.
I just think that there's so many people now all writing, you know, and it's not like before, like you say, oh, you know, well, the Globe and Herald always covered it and blah, blah, blah. But before, you know, everyone started blogging and doing all that, you had a certain amount of space you had to fill every day, but you couldn't fill any more than that.
Right.
Now, you know, with the blogging and the tweeting and all that stuff, it's unlimited. So these people are trying to come up with any little thing that they can write about.
And I'll tell you what else I think is people always looking for something that you can write without necessarily having quotes for.
Yeah.
You know, you can write some sort of analysis that you can do. If I didn't have, you know, in other words, over the weekend they played Thursday. We had Belichick on Friday. We didn't have any access to players Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. What can I write that I don't necessarily need quotes for? I think that's an easy fix for them.
But it's just, I don't find it entertaining because I don't think it changes all that much.
No.
And the other issue is,
let it stand.
It's a fun little thing. There's no value to it. Bill Belichick couldn't tell you his roster May 1st or July 1st or
Well, if he had to, he would have.
Well, if he had to.
Well, if he had to play a game, he could.
But
he couldn't tell you who played it.
There's no real tangible value to it.
He doesn't get into ranking things. Right?
Well, occasionally he does.
By the way, we were listening to Bill Belichick, Eric. And we turned it off because once we realized that, A, he wasn't going to talk about any
ridiculous
roster moves, and B, we couldn't hear the questions. So,
I have a question.
He seemed like he got a little belligerent with somebody.
Contracts.
He was getting belligerent with
all
him.
The guys that are on the field are under contract.
Yeah.
Buckeye Burt.
Huh? What happened?
Buckeye Burt was trying to.
That's Albert Breer for the rest of the world.
We like to call him Buckeye Burt because he went to Ohio State.
I'm sure they know that because he tells everybody he went
to
Ohio State.
I know, but you know how these things spin out of control.
Well,
in the
he led into the he led in by saying, you know, something like if something doesn't get done by tomorrow night, we're 10 days away from your franchise quarterback entering the season, in the final year of his contract. Does that bother you? Like, trying to make something of it. And
right.
Bill was like, no, he's under contract for this year, which is really all that matters.
It's not like we're 10 days away from losing him.
Exactly. Like, if 10 days away from his contract expiring, yeah, that'd be a big deal. But he's under contract for the entire year.
I mean, to Breer's defense, if he wasn't a guy like Tom Brady, if he was another type of player, it might be an issue. But you know it's not going to be an issue with Tom Brady. He's not going to...
Well, no, I think that was his point was just the opposite, that because it's a guy like Tom Brady, it should be an issue that he's going in with 1 year left.
And it's not really an issue either way because it's been the same issue for months. As soon as last season ended, he was in his final year of contract.
Exactly. March 4th or whatever.
But I don't think we have to worry about Tom Brady saying, well, you're not done by now. I'm holding out.
I know.
I don't think we have to worry about
that. I don't think you really meant. I mean, I wasn't there, but I don't think Brady's not going to show up to the Bengals game.
That's not at all. That's not at all what he was implying. He was just saying that a guy of his stature has never really gotten this far in the process and not gotten the contract
redone. On this team, you mean?
Just in general. Quarterbacks.
It happens all the time.
Elite quarterbacks don't normally go into the final year of their contracts.
I think Manning and Brady right now are different animals. I don't think we've seen this.
Manning had to be franchised.
But he didn't get to a point where he was a free agent is my point.
Right. And neither will Tom Brady.
Huh?
You don't think that they would franchise Tom Brady if it got to that point, just like the Colts did to Manning?
That is kind of what the franchise tag was invented for guys like Tom Brady.
For John Elway.
It's gotten to be used on kickers and punters and that kind of thing.
All I'm saying is I think Manning and Brady are different animals. I don't think we generally see – LeBron James was a different thing.
Right.
We don't see that caliber of player get to be a free agent.
You try not to. Absolutely.
That's all.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned about it in the least.
Yeah.
So we had a couple of follow-ups trying to press the issue, but obviously Bill was having none of it. And I kind of agree with Bill. It's not an issue.
Totally agree
The guy's
with
under
Bill.
Contract. You're coaching this
and really,
year's
what
team.
Are you going to say? Yeah, I really wish they could get the contract done, or don't care.
One of his follow-ups was, is Tom Brady's contract important to you? I mean,
and
yes.
Is that when he just repeated all the players are under contract?
Exactly.
Bam, I got it.
Plus,
that's
you said, what's he going to say? I hope they get it done. Bill's also they.
Right.
He's the top boss. Well, top football boss on this team.
Well, but one of his answers to that was that, you know, I'm just trying to coach the team.
No, I know, but we all know he's the they. He's the guy. Aside from Robert Kraft, who actually has to sign the deal,
there were a lot of
the football decision comes from Bill Belichick.
Yeah, and I think that they work together, and you know,
it was hard for even some of us in the press conference to hear the questions today. That's how
we couldn't hear
people were
diddly poo
asking.
Yeah. It seemed like it was more a lot, you know. And once they get past that, a lot of it was like talking about guys making the most of their
Brian
opportunity
Hoyer.
And things like
a lot
that.
Of Brian Hoyer talk today too.
A little bit of Brian Hoyer talk. Yeah.
Zach Robinson.
A little Zach Robinson.
So we didn't miss anything by. Getting back to the show?
No.
Okay. Good.
Wow.
No, I think I said that, Andy.
Derek,
can you play the one where he says Eric's name?
He goes
you can keep looking. There isn't one. He's never said Eric's name. It's a point of contention.
Eric
think he
was
has.
Not really said Eric. Contrary.
It's a negative ghost rider.
When I had the one-on-one with him, he said, hi, Eric.
Oh.
That was the only
but
time.
But there were no microphones around.
No microphones around.
Oh, okay.
I think I even put my recorder on late, so I wouldn't even have it.
Oh,
on there.
And there was no one, proof of it.
And there was no one else within earshot that might have actually been named Eric as well.
Chris Ferreira?
No, Chris Ferreira was the only one in the room.
So couldn't have missed
or in the vicinity.
All right, so we actually did say.
You know, we have a lot of respect for Jason.
We finally have a surgery for Dr. James Andrews that makes sense. He operated on Mark Ingram's knee.
Alabama?
The Alabama guy. So usually it's someone going down to Birmingham to see Dr. James Andrews. Well, this one actually makes sense.
Okay.
I'd go to Birmingham.
That's a big injury, though, no?
You think? Number one team in the country loses the Heisman Trophy winner?
Isn't he only going to...
Nothing gets by Perillo.
He may only miss one
game. Isn't he only
going
to miss the San Jose State game or whatever whoever they're playing?
He's the guy that Patriots fans want, right? When they've been trying to run Lawrence Maroney out of town, let's get a guy like Ingram.
It's too soon to start talking about the draft.
Can I be on record as saying I don't want him?
College.
Not because I don't think he's going to be a good player or whatever. I don't want that kind of running back that high in the draft.
I don't think he's going to be a good player. I think he's a college running back. He'll be an okay pro.
Although I'll also say that based on some small snippets of Ryan Matthews.
We were wrong.
I think I may have been wrong about him.
Derek from the University of Arizona.
I know nothing about
if you had to pick two players that you were up and down, who would they be? I would... Just say one for each, but I feel the majority of fans, including myself, would choose Gronkowski as up and Cunningham as down. I would also add Dan Connolly up and Darius Butler down. Both Connolly and Gronkowski have stepped up and filled big roles for the team. On the other side, I feel Butler has continually struggled, and I'm hopeful he can bounce back as I have high hopes for him. Cunningham just has not been on the field, and I really would have liked to see him out there, but injuries haven't allowed it. It might be a little unfair to rate a player down for injuries. However, I know many of us think he offers promise for the pass rush. Also, do you think it would be better for Belichick to throw Cunningham to the Wolves and have him learn the outside linebacker on the fly? Maybe bring him in on third downs for some attempted pass rushes. Hard to gauge because he has not been on the field much, but curious on your thoughts.
I would like to see him play whenever he's healthy. Rotate through, get some reps.
But what if he just isn't ready to play?
It's kind of like,
I don't want him to embarrass me or the defense, but barring the absolute worst, like he's a total idiot who can't learn the defense at all,
no,
if he's questionable, then I want him out there. I'll take my lumps.
I agree with you. I would rather see him than, you know, Ninkovich or Woods
it's
or any of the guys that I kind of Morrell.
It's an investment in my future.
Know that,
It's kind of like Sean Crable when early on when we said, you know, if he's ever healthy, we're excited to see what he can do on the field.
Sure.
Same kind of thing early on. Let's just hope it doesn't continue that
same way. I think he needs to deserve
those meatballs that Pizzeria Grandi weren't cooked through.
You're going to be okay?
Is that why there's flies in there, Fred?
Maybe not.
Why does it make your nose itch? Like you were moving your nose. Like that was an issue. Is it coming out your nose?
He does his Bonnie Fife every once in a while.
He looked like Bewitched.
Fred, we get a phone call, too.
All right. Sean says, I saw Perillo on Comcast last night. He looks younger with his hair cut. He should take it all off with a straight razor.
Younger than who?
How was that? You did the Comcast?
Why do you have to always... always do that.
Speaking
can't
of,
you just let one go by one day?
Speaking of, we're going to start our show next
does
week.
Does Barry Bonds
right?
let one go by?
Week from Thursday,
I'll tell you
September
what, I'm so
9th.
Confident they're going to win if they lose.
A week from this Thursday, the first
for those
PFW
of you in the
show?
Comcast New England area,
right?
Commercials are already circulating.
Right. Now, is it on beyond? If you have a dish, can you get us?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You can get the Comcast Sports New England?
It's on in quite a few markets, too, Fred.
Yeah.
It's not just Massachusetts.
It won't just be on in this area.
Because we have no idea what the show's going to be about, other than the Patriots.
Well, I talked to Comcast.
Andy's
going to
be doing an interview with Fred Taylor in the first one, right?
I am?
Well, I just assumed.
What'd you say, Kevin?
I said I was talking to Comcast today about it.
Yeah? And what'd they say? They fill you in?
Yeah, we got a few interesting new features, too, from very nice people who decided to sponsor the show this year.
It's news to us.
So...
why are we always the last to know?
I don't know why I know and you don't. That's a good point.
Well, I was telling Fred last night, I was talking to some of the people behind the scenes who were all telling me how excited they are about it. And I said, what are we doing exactly? And no one could give me an answer.
Well, I know the director is acclaimed Tory Champagne.
Yeah, Tory Champagne.
So I know that's
now mocking the guy.
Why?
That's who I spoke with this morning,
he's
Fred.
He's acclaimed.
He was very nice.
Yeah, he's acclaimed.
Tory's a good guy.
Didn't he
used to
work
here.
For KSP?
He worked for KSP.
Yeah, he's a acclaimed Tory Champagne.
Say it the way you were saying it yesterday in the office.
Tory Champagne. All right.
All right. Well, thank you, Sean.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Brad from the Eastern Shores on the phone. Hey, Brad.
Brad or Brian?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
It says Brad.
Hey, hippie.
Hey, Paul, great analogy that you used last week, and I thought you for sure you'd use it today, and you didn't. I felt like the outside linebackers, when they weren't jumping off sides, were simply dancing with the tackles.
Well, Derek Burgess, that's what he does. There's no question at this point.
Yeah. I mean, there had to be 10 pass plays where he came off the line, put both hands right into the chest of the tackle, and stood there.
He's done since last August.
You left out one move that the outside linebackers had. Bantakane and Morrell also, they mixed in a little, I'm going to jump with 2 feet and headbutt the quarterback in the chest, just to make sure the referee has to call roughing the passer, which we did 3 times. And all 3 of them, I thought, were ridiculously unnecessary and cheap.
Yep.
And I thought
not Bill Belichick. He seemed to feel like they were calling it close.
When they call him tight, they left their feet and launched with their head and hit the quarterback right in the chest.
I was going to say, and snapped. I mean, but his head snapped back all 3 times.
Yeah.
It was like all the ref had to do was be watching the helmet.
There were 4 roughing the passer calls in that game, and I thought they were the easiest. And I always hate roughing the passer. I always say, oh, that's a bad call. All 4 of them were the easiest calls a ref could ever have to make.
Yep.
Yeah.
Coming in head high, hands high, leaving their feet. No, I agree. Running woes continue. I'm not sure whether it's the offensive line or the plays being called at the wrong time. But 12 yards rushing, that hurt.
It wasn't a whole lot that
we didn't have the ball.
Well, no, they never had the ball.
We didn't have any plays.
I wondered whether you guys thought that keeping Brady and the starters on the field in the third quarter is risky.
That's what happens every third preseason game.
No, but I mean late into the third quarter. When,
that's what happens
as,
in
as kind
most
of a
third
punishment.
Preseason games.
No, they clearly had a number of plays they wanted to run, and when you only get X number in the first half, you're going to go deeper, I think, into the second.
Yeah, it was a number of plays they were looking for. That's why I think the Rams guys came out.
Because they had a ton of plays.
Because they had so many plays, they hit their number of plays in the first half. And I think, actually, the risk went down, if you want to look at it from a practical standpoint, because they were playing against inferior players.
Yeah, but inferior players who are trying to make a team and trying to make that extra play.
I don't buy into that. I don't think guys are trying to make the team by throwing cheap shots.
Oh, no, I'm not saying cheap shots, but just coming in, you know, you miss a block and the guy's got a free shot at Brady when...
No, no,
you know,
the Patriots had their starters out there.
2 minutes
it's,
left.
It's the other team had their backup.
And that didn't seem to make a difference. No. Did you all notice that?
No, it didn't. Well, certainly not defensively. It made a difference offensively. Like Fred said, it was nice to see Brady hit Moss with that bomb.
Yeah,
and,
but it's nice when
stuff.
He's playing against eighth graders, too.
Exactly.
Wow, but, were you really laughing, though, at it?
Like Paul House said, of Pain.
The biggest story would have been if the Patriots had kept the starters out and they couldn't have taken advantage of that.
True.
That would have been the story.
But I don't think any of us have ever argued that we don't think Brady and the wide receivers will connect this year.
Right.
I think we again, in the third quarter, could not run the ball worth beans. And our defense allowed somebody named Thaddeus to go down the field like he was the second coming of Elway. How'd you like the I thought for sure you guys would mention the Peyton Manning and Polian whining and complaining about the rules, and every single paper and every single website in the world took that as a headline.
Well, they're talking about the new alignment for the umpire behind.
Yeah,
the,
I thought Polian was embarrassing. Manning, I have no problem with.
Cut that meat.
Polian, I would have crusaded against it.
Now, what is an illegal snap? Is that a snap before the umpire gets in his position?
No, the referee.
The referee, I mean?
Yes.
No, it's the umpire.
No, it was the referee.
No, both times he did it, the umpire was not yet beyond him, and he quick-hiked it, and the ref threw the flag.
Okay.
It's the umpire. The umpire has to be beyond the running back before you can hike the ball.
Right, but if the referee is not set, he's going to throw the flag, which happened to them twice.
Right, but the umpire both times.
Right,
was
we've now expanded the right arguments to call us.
last thing, real quick, can you guys put some stilts on 3Wise or something? She's going to break her neck by the time the season's over with she and B-Lo on the screen at the same time.
Yeah, we should get her like a little stand to stand up.
I mean, nice enough girl and everything, but for crying out loud, all she does in those 5 minutes on the website is crank her head up, then look back at the camera. Crank her head up, look back at the camera.
Could put her on my shoulders.
Dick Stadium.
Back and to the left.
We just wanted to, you know, go out, do it quickly, and come back.
Anyway, keep up the good work. Looking forward to the season.
All right.
Hopefully we can go at least 10-6.
That KSP has some pretty good nicknames. They got 3Ys, B-Low, No Socks.
Yeah, it's good.
Hey, girl.
They got their own little mafia group over there.
Hey, girl.
Yeah. Kamani writes in. He says, can I reply to the statement made about the emailers? Earlier somebody said that emailers have no sack. And
yes, that was from Kevin in Reading.
A lot of sack talk today.
He says the emailers like myself would call in. I've tried in the past, but unfortunately you have one goddamn phone line.
Well, why do Mike in Puerto Rico and Brad in Baltimore always find a way to get through?
And Kevin in Reading.
You might try once.
We've had three calls during this show.
I give you a clue. When the guy hangs up who's on the air, call. The line is open.
You might as well be broadcasting out of someone's apartment. How could this happen, Fred? Who should we fire for this short-sightedness?
I'll go with Doc.
We need a phone screener for you too, Fred.
No, we need you.
There's another call coming in as we speak.
It's probably come on.
Todd in Nova Scotia. Did I hear Steve Burton just take a shot at Paul's weight on Patriots pregame? He said, "Coming up on Patriots roundtable, and it sure is round with Paul Perillo and Mike Reese."
Did he say that?
It had to be a shot. Why else would Perillo get top billing over Reese?
He really said that.
Did he say it's really
sure
round,
is round
with Paul.
I don't know.
I thought you were there.
Not when he said that.
That's probably something they taped.
Well,
they did it live.
Probably something they did in the segment before we were on.
Right.
Paul did look uncomfortable squished between Burton and Reese. It was also weird that Paul and Reese had kind of the same shirt on.
It worked out well, though, because everyone else on the show had the Patriots shirts. So they looked
like
one thing. So they coordinated.
Any time that I am ever mentioned in doing something, anything, he has to negatively opine on it.
I'm kind of like Bill Belichick. I serve a lot of humble pie. I don't want you to get too big for your britches.
He wants you out of the way so he can take your gigs.
Well, that's fine, but I mean, really every
gigs.
Single...
I could care less about the gigs. It's the paychecks I want.
That's what they are. They're paid gigs.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey,
yeah,
Fred,
but I'd rather just get the paycheck.
Fred, Kevin's challenge is really being taken to heart by the callers here. We got another phone call.
Well, yes, at 508-543-7482. Charlie from North Carolina is on the phone. Hey, Charlie.
Thanks for sacking up.
Hey, Fred. Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey,
Charlie.
Hey, I just called real quick to point you guys' attention to something. I don't know if you guys had seen this, but have you heard about the sex tape involving Brandon Spikes?
No, we haven't. So, you know, we probably won't get into that. Who knows?
Yeah, it's not something we need to be getting into.
Yeah. Let's see. John in Ithaca writes in. He's formerly from Spencer. I have to say, Paul's unfortunate bird incident at practice was justified.
And he didn't flip anyone off.
Was justified.
How dare he claim to steal Andy's man crush on Patriots Today? We've known for weeks, if not months, that Andy has claimed man crush status with G-Force. Is Paul insinuating a menage a trois here? Not sure Andy would go for that.
On me?
Eric, on the other hand.
On him.
Well, you know
not on Gronkowski. You know what I meant.
All right. My question is, given that most are projecting the Pats to finish around 10 wins or under and perhaps not make the playoffs, when do you project a return to contention? I'm not suggesting I'm giving up on this season. Far from it. I personally think there are far too many unknowns to dismiss the team's chances, and I'm sure you agree. Sports Illustrated picked the Saints to finish third in the NFC South last year, and look what happened. Still, if the team is relatively young and untested at this point, and if there are still noticeable holes at key positions at the line on both sides of the ball, when can you project the team maturing to the point of being major contenders again? Do you see them being 3 years out, more or less, or do you not see a return to dominance on the horizon yet?
Didn't I say 2014 the other day?
You did.
See, well,
you lost all credibility.
But you told Phil that not in our time here at the show.
But see, the point though,
the
reader answers his own question.
I thought his name was Steve.
The return can be any time. I mean, the Saints were projected to be third, and then they won the Super Bowl, and now it looks like they've got the kind of roster that should keep them in contention.
Well,
they'll
contend this year that the Jets could implode at any time.
You mean the Patriots, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think we're talking about for championships, not division.
Yeah.
Well, but still, once you make
the
playoffs,
they won the division last year, and
they were not a contender last year.
Yeah, if they had won that game, who knows what would have happened.
If they hadn't got their asses kicked.
In 2002, or the beginning of 2003 even, we could never say that the Patriots would have started a dynasty. You know,
I agree.
You know,
exactly.
You know, see, you just
don't
know.
I think that's what the guy's asking. We're considered analysts of this team. And if we don't think they're contenders, how close are they to being contenders?
And I think we talked about it earlier. I think the large part of that depends to me, because I think they have the makings of a championship offense.
But we have to separate.
With those defensive guys, the Chungs, the Spikes, the Cunninghams. We have to figure out
Butler.
What those guys are.
But the thing is, the emailer says two things. He says return to contention, but he also says return to dominance. Two completely different things.
Right. Yeah.
There's not a dominant team in the league right now.
Right. You know? I also think
find that interesting you say that the offense.
I think the offense has the makings of being championship caliber, yes.
Are you talking about this year or the future?
No, right now.
Oh, okay. We were talking about the future.
Do you not?
Well, I thought we had written off this year. I thought his premise was, assuming this team is not a contender this year, when will they return to contender?
Well, I think
Moss leaves this offseason, I don't know what this offense is.
Well, that's a great point.
I think these guys look great when Moss is on the field.
No,
I don't know what they look like without him.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. And, Fred, I'll add in something. You talked the emailer mentioned all the analysts, 10 wins at the most, 10 wins and under. And we always talk about this. You're always quick to jump on this. Everybody hates the Patriots. No one respects them. And usually I argue with you. This year, there is no arguing. I can't find very many people that think the Patriots are any better, if at all, than 10 wins. That seems to be the high water mark that I've found. And all the analysts that, you know, I don't read and see everything, but I have seen very little evidence that people think this team is championship caliber.
And is that just the schedule?
I think
no. I think it's a
combination. That's a part of it, but I also.
But I mean, they were a 10-win team last year.
I think people are, you know,
and you should argue they're better
about the defense.
Right? Yeah, but the defense wasn't good last year.
I think they
and the only loss they had was guys that I think they wanted to lose. Well, like Thomas, Sean Spriggs.
But I also think people are saying Miami's better. The Jets are better.
There are more questions.
The Ravens are better.
I think the two in the division in particular. Though, I think they feel the division is a lot tougher.
So that's the schedule.
The division is tougher. But I think there are more questions about the team, about the roster, than there were last year.
I think there are somewhat fewer. Everybody keeps lumping in on the line on both sides of the ball. I haven't seen the O-line problems. I think Dan Conley's been fine. I haven't seen him glaringly like I've seen the
DB struggle.
But the defensive
line is
certainly
one.
No, that certainly has. But everybody lumps the two together. We continue to get emails here and in SPFW, the offensive line and this and that. And
the O-line hasn't been a problem.
Well, I mean, if Conley has been fine, was a starter, and if Mankins was a starter... Unless these guys were diamonds in the rough.
Well, I don't think Kazier would have been a starter.
How much better would Fred Taylor have looked against the Falcons if Kazier and Mankins were in there? Not much. How much better would Sammy Morris have looked? Not much.
But everything we're talking about right now.
Second string.
No, but I'm just saying.
Everything we're talking about right now, even with the preseason games, is projections and on paper. We just don't know. You know?
Well, but see, that's where I jump ship. I know that I've seen failings at defensive end and outside linebacker in the preseason. I haven't seen where I said, you know what, Dan Conley can't compete right there. They got a hole at left guard. I've either seen him make plays or I haven't noticed. Yeah. And to me, offensive line, when you don't notice, it's a
good
thing.
I would agree with that as a rule, but I also think that it's fair for a national analyst who probably hasn't watched all the practices to say, like Fred said, they had two starters on the offensive
line. But I'm not talking about analysts.
That they've lost.
I'm talking about fans. We get a lot of emails that lump O-line in, and I just don't see the failings.
Only
of the
because O-line. They've lost two. One guy who was a sure starter and one who was a potential
starter. Right, but I agree with Andy. There hasn't been a problem on the O-line with those guys who have stepped
not
in
that we've seen
them.
Yet.
And a lot of these have
not
come in
yet.
Last week plus. I can see entering camp saying, without Mankins, I worry about the line. But why?
I see questions.
Remember, Ty Warren went down. That changed
you're
something.
Also talking about a line who loses Stephen Neal for a game, at least a game or two every year.
And that's
and
a problem.
Who was a step away from retiring.
When your depth is tested in August, it's a problem in November.
That's, to me, the number one thing that I would be concerned with right now is you're dealing at a much lower level to start it all
off
than you have been most of the time in the recent
past. We think,
past.
Now, Dan Connolly, this could be his year. Maybe he becomes, a really good
but
guard,
instead of having a Dan Connolly to plug in, a Russ Hochstein to plug in.
Right, now if you have
might,
an injury.
You might have a guy in the Quinn Ojanaka. I don't know.
Or
I don't know enough about those guys. Or maybe
Ted
it's going to be Ted Larson or Rich Ornberger, and those guys can't do it. I don't know.
Right.
There's a lot of there's more unknown to me.
Good O-line talk here in PFW in progress. Sam writes in from Chicago.
Hey, girl.
Question from yesterday's Belichick press conference. Can you give some insight and elaborate as to when Bill was asked, will we hear about the roster cuts today? He replied, no, there's still some moving parts. Does he mean players' health conditions, potential moves with other teams? And P.S. Kevin in the booth, speak when spoken to.
Wow. Which means not at all.
I think he just meant that there were two more practices coming up for players to either, solidify their chances or
I would say all the above.
It's all of the above. I think there's probably some injury situations. And Eric's point about the practices, so-and-so might be ready to practice at this time, where if he's not, maybe this guy goes – I think these first five cuts here, these first five roster moves, are more procedural than I think. I think you have to do
for
it
the most part.
With the game on Thursday in mind. You need to have guys that you're planning on playing for three quarters probably Thursday night, and you want to make sure you do it with an eye toward that. Remember last year there were a lot, Andy, you don't because you weren't there. There were a lot of guys that played kind of surprisingly extended minutes. Watson was one of them, and we kind of thought – Watson had alluded
to
it. He had alluded to it before the game. We talked to him after the game. We were all kind of convinced he was gone.
He was kind of convinced.
He thought he was gone.
Said, I know I'm going to play this year. Where it is, I don't know. Something along those lines. And he kind of thought he saw the handwriting on the wall, but he ended up coming back.
So that's the kind of things that Bill has to weigh. Who's going to be around to play Thursday night, and how do I make sure I get my team in the best situation for September 12th?
Do we all expect, I think, one of the transactions today to be a Nick Kazier related one?
I'm not positive on that.
Because they could have done it already.
I'm not positive on that. The Josh Barrett, I would be stunned if he's not one of them.
Sure.
He'll be one of the – I think he'll go to IR officially today. Maybe a Brett Lockett, who we haven't seen in forever. I don't know.
Okay. So there's at least two moves there.
Maybe.
Yeah.
He puts him in the definitive category. Like, yeah, two down, three
to go. I thought we were trying to analyze what was going to happen.
Yeah, but you could be right. It could be Kasher. That's at least three right there. Go.
Okay, so we have two more moves to make. Who else do you think gets?
But there, I mean, I don't know. There could be a trade. Maybe they trade Rob Myers to a tight end needy team.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule out a trade.
If we can get Quinn Okanagan, don't even say it. Don't say it.
Maybe your boy.
We're gonna trade Gronkowski.
No, Sanders.
Jimmy.
No, we'll not be dealing Rob Gronkowski.
Well, he's your boy now. Apparently, you've been making out with him on Patriots Today.
I'd like to go back and check the videotape on that because I thought I may have said a PFW man crush, but maybe I didn't. Maybe I just said I have a man
crush.
That's
typical of Paul. He meant to say we're a team, but instead he said I.
I was going to say.
Parilo.
Regardless of what I would have said, Andy would have had a problem with it.
But
you look very uncomfortable. You look really uncomfortable. You really need to grow.
It looks like you were
need to grow.
Oh,
you really should be taller.
Quite the opposite. It looked like you were trying to like squeeze your love handles in to fit like.
Oh, I lost track. I thought we were talking about B-Lo. I needed to grow, so I was as tall.
I've never
as
seen
is.
That show, so I can't comment on it. I'm talking about All Access.
You've never seen anything, but doesn't stop you from
no All Access.
They played All Access in the press box. Criticizing
no audio, but I saw a video.
Fred, who wrote that email?
Which one?
The one that was zinging me?
Did we talk
Sam
to you?
In Chicago.
I don't think we did.
Okay. Yeah, you weren't spoken to. So
I'm just saying.
You don't.
I know more
say.
About football than that guy.
It's a girl, it's and a you girl. Don't.
You're starting a list.
Might be a guy.
Either way, girl or guy, you
glad
don't.
I called that guy.
Sam is a very astute caller listener.
Stephen Lovelady writes in. from work.
The relationship.
Campaign.
Stephen Lovelady.
I don't think there's any way of hiding the fact that the defense was a debacle on Thursday night, but I managed to convince myself of some caveats, which might excuse or explain at least some of the problems.
They don't.
Firstly, it seemed that the plays where the Rams receivers were the most wide open were plays where we call for zone blitzes. This is something I don't typically associate with a Belichick 3-4 defense, so I'm hoping it was something of an experimentation on Bill's part to find out if these types of plays were even possible and where we would be most exposed as a result of the blitz. Similarly, I don't think the players would be overly familiar with these plays being called in a game situation, so this could explain why the young players in the secondary struggled so much. When we switched to playing man defense, I thought the situation improved markedly. Hopefully, we don't need to call those zone blitzes too often in the season. I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
I don't really recall seeing a zone blitz in the game.
I mean, if that's the case, I don't know if Bill would have been that upset after the game. But anyway, secondly, he says, I seem to remember games in other preseasons where we have played a very vanilla zone defense and had similar problems against the pass. I don't know why we do this. I presume Bill has his reasons. But we've looked bad in the secondary before during preseason, only for the problems to disappear by week one. I'm hoping it's the same in this instance. As Andy mentioned, however, the hidden problem of that game might be the run defense when plays that should have been stopped for 2 yards were routinely going for 4 or 5. That wasn't a result of unfamiliar scheming, simply being bullied at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I think we can sort of eliminate the unfamiliar scheming based on how upset Bill was. And right. This is not my opinion, or I don't think if they were doing things that were unfamiliar, Bill would have been as upset about it as he was.
Yeah.
And I think Kevin made the point that on the sideline, he was imploring the cornerbacks to get up closer to their receivers. That kind of tells you, and we hear a lot of the audio from the stuff that they do at KSP, too. And if they were doing schemes that they weren't familiar with, I don't think Bill would have had that reaction.
Right.
In a game of no defense, we played less. I don't think he would have said that.
No.
If it was something that he didn't think it was necessarily fair to expect them to go out and execute. Zone blitzes, I don't remember seeing defensive linemen dropping into any zones or anything. I don't remember a zone blitzing at all.
So, Steven, I commend you for trying to rationalize the game, but
lipstick on a pig.
Yeah. Let's see. AJ from Missouri says, first time emailer here. I felt I had to write in after Eric said I had no balls for not contributing. Eric, you were my favorite, and now I think you're just a wiener.
He doesn't usually email, and you said people who don't email have no balls.
So now
he decided to email and say he hates you.
Oh. Now you're a wiener, he said.
I like it.
I believe I began listening during sometime in 2000.
Line.
Please don't tell me the show didn't go back that long. It sure did. During the He Who Shall Not Be Named years, I didn't listen very religiously, but that was really my only hiatus from the show. Unfortunately, I've only come up with one question after listening for the show for, I think, 10 years. In all honesty, I usually don't listen live. I download the podcast, which doesn't allow for many emails. Finally, my question. Who was the PFW in Progress writer in the early aughts, maybe 2000 or 2001, who specialized in looking at practice squad players? And finally, what is this guy up to today? He was one of my favorites.
Shane Donaldson, who was one of all of our favorites. He is now working at Salve Regina College, I believe. Is that college or university?
University.
It is a university?
Yes. I think so.
He is in the sports information business, and he just recently became a father.
Very good. Now, why did you have to sing university, Andy?
I don't know.
It just felt
right.
I just figured
it's
he was
one of those colleges that needs a jingle.
I just figured he was ready to critique me.
It's not always about you, Paul. It's not Parilo all the time.
Oh, according to you, it is. Touche.
It's unbelievable.
It's a nonstop assault. And then
again.
I get made fun of for, oh, we know what time it is now. Because it always is.
Who's she arguing with?
Him.
But just let him go.
That fat head right over there. That's who
he's
I'm
on a roll.
With.
Let him go. And this might be the big one. Fred's turning bright red.
I haven't seen
Fred him. Is exactly
on
the color
of his shirt right
now. A meatball just came up.
I haven't seen Fred laugh that hard since he said, you don't have rules?
You have to worry about every hole in your body when you laugh like that.
Wait a minute.
Forget it.
Oh, boy.
I mean, you accidentally forget it.
Never mind.
You could do a lot of things.
Move on.
But one of them I've never done.
What?
Oh, I see. You could use the hole for two different things. Okay, go ahead.
Wait, what?
What's that now?
You could pee.
Do you have a confession, Andy?
No, I was thinking how could you accidentally...
Oh, for God's
piss
sake.
Yourself.
That only...
I was thinking the other thing.
Poop?
The other thing.
No.
You wouldn't know what the hole is used for other than pee, but...
Jeez. Andrew in the Ukraine, of course we all know the peril of judging the schedule before the season begins, but I do feel the need to echo Fred's point to a certain degree. It seems people tend to assume that the teams that were good or bad last year will be the same as they were, but the NFL is not a static league. It's based true. On the performance of just the first team on offense, defense, and special teams, I think the Patriots match up with any team in the NFL with the lone exception of Green Bay.
And the Rams. Because your first units didn't match up against the Rams. You got killed.
There are teams that were expected to be very good, Cincinnati, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, and the Jets, that look to be very underwhelming at this point.
I mean, after last week's third preseason game, could you not argue the Patriots would be in that group?
No, but also after three preseason games, you got to admit the Jets' offense is anemic.
Terrible. Looks terrible.
But I think they're going to be better once the season starts.
I agree with his point about it's not a static league. I don't think people are thinking a lot of teams are going to be the same as last year. I think you assess who you think got better. I think Baltimore got better. They had some key additions at some spots that I think are going to bolster them.
But I think
you know,
the
I think there's some
point,
teams that may be worse
I think
that were pretty good last year, like San Diego with all their holdouts. There's a question there.
But I think to the emailer's point, a lot of observers put a lot of undue emphasis on strength of schedule. They look at how many playoff teams from a year ago you're playing, how many teams over 500
you're playing. I just look at the teams they're playing, not... I don't care about the statistics.
But when people do strength of schedule,
it's all based on last year's record.
Well, but that's a formula. That's actually that's
but
a
that's
stat.
What they talk about with strength of schedule.
But do you think this schedule is difficult? You don't need the numbers to tell you that.
I do.
I think they're playing a number of teams on paper that look to be talented. Yeah. That's why I think they have a difficult schedule, not because the numbers tell me.
Right.
By records, it's like the sixth highest part of schedule.
With the strength of schedule.
Yeah, but I think in this case, it's accurate.
I'd have to know it.
To me, the Patriots' first teamers have been at least as impressive as those of the early favorites, Indy, San Diego, and Baltimore. He thinks they're going 12-4.
He clearly missed Thursday night's game.
And I don't care about the preseason, by the way. I don't put any stock in the preseason whatsoever. I didn't get overly excited about what they did against New Orleans and Atlanta, and I'm not going to get overly discouraged by what they did Thursday.
I will.
It doesn't mean anything to me.
But if you're going to be discouraged or encouraged, the third preseason game is the barometer.
Yeah.
And they didn't look too good against
the Rams. I agree with you. I just don't – I don't put a lot of stock in it. I mean, Indianapolis, for one example, has not fared well in the preseason
Ever.
In the entire
Ever.
Peyton Manning era. I mean, I know there's probably a year in there that they went 3-0 or 4-0 or 3-1, but not often. Usually they go 1-3 or 0-4 even. I don't care.
Yeah, they ruined my chart last week. They were one of the teams that have, because, what was it, 7 of the last 10 Super Bowl winners had winning
preseason records. The Colts were definitely one of the 1-3s that won the Super Bowl after not having a winning preseason. I think
the Giants.
And the Giants?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Todd in Nova Scotia says the Burton.
Yeah, Giants. Remember, because you're
the
my Giants media guy.
One of the Patriots, yeah. Which they told me in the table of contents that the answer was on page 648, and the last page of the media guide was page 468.
The Burton shot came just before a commercial, says Todd. About
this is
Paul.
Real?
And they went back to Paul and Reese talking about the game, and Andy's right. Paul had a squishy, uncomfortable look on his face towards the end of that segment, like he had to go to the bathroom. But the haircut does look a lot better.
You do have that growing problem. Maybe you did have to go to the bathroom. Do you remember? Potty
I
time?
Didn't have anything going on.
I'm more interested in the pre-segment when Burton's
in. Boy, is it a round
table.
I'll tell
you what, I'm so confident they're going to win if they
Chris
lose.
Chris with a TIN says that Burton took a shot.
Did he do it in the Andy Hart voice?
Boy, is it a round table.
Paul not most having fun with this segment.
I think you're taking something literal. I think that Burton probably threw off a cuff. You think Burton was taking a fat joke at me?
I think so.
That's what
I'm going with.
Yeah,
I don't
think he was either.
I think he was, having not heard it.
It's funny because he's
Kevin. Let's see. Kevin O'Connell was cut by the Jets. In case anyone didn't know.
Wow,
boy, it's interesting. We got what they needed out of him, and then
what a terrible
January.
No chance you make it to January.
And also, Derek says, glad we cleared up who got bitch slapped by Belichick. It was Buckeye Burt. For a second, I thought it was Eric getting bent over and spanked again.
Wow.
Again? Wow. Did you get spanked,
no.
Eric?
Please leave me alone, Eric. My bottom is really sure.
At St. Paul's, maybe? No?
Oh, I was up at St. Paul's this weekend.
I was up in New Hampshire, and we were driving on the highway, and all of a sudden, the Blue Angels.
What would you have to say?
Flew across the highway. It was unbelievable. They had the air show up there. I'm surprised people don't get in accidents when they see that.
I'm surprised you didn't.
I see you get in an accident right now.
Right. By the way, Derek, I was listening to the draft podcast again in the Gronkowski pick audio, and it was absolutely hilarious. The roller coaster of emotions was hilarious. Definitely should be a great moment.
Did you hear the roller coaster?
When he got drafted and he was dancing around with his family?
Oh, him. I thought us.
But did you see
we were in love with
Brady's comments about Gronk, G-Force, sorry, about how he celebrates after touchdowns and he says he kind of blacks out and doesn't really know what's going on and they kind of think that's funny?
He blacks out?
Not really. Yeah. Now, he doesn't remember his celebrations.
Could that be tied to the back problem?
And Brady says that he kind of blacks out and he doesn't remember what happened.
I think he's got a new one he's working on. We saw him yesterday. He made a great catch. He spun it, and then while it was spunning, he kicked it.
While it was spunning?
You know what I meant. And I thought it was really interesting that it was a great catch, and Bill O'Brien yelled, spike that thing, and I'm thinking.
In the middle of the field.
We're teaching players to spike the ball after catching
I'd rather
offense.
Have them do that than choreograph stuff, because that's when they get in trouble.
Well,
in the middle of the field,
you're going to get a flag for spiking
the ball.
In the
middle of the field, you don't want to do that. All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We're going to New York on Thursday, so there's no show.
I'll take the Patriots.
But we'll see you next Tuesday.
Right.
Thanks for listening. Yeah, so.
That puts the wraps on another PFW in Progress.
Well, come on, guys. We gave it our best.
Wow, that was your best?
Patriots.com Radio.
The best is yet to come.